Like, Mario could be gay. He probably is. That's not his voice. Luigi. Yahoo! Luigi ain't his brother. I hate to tell you guys that. But my point is, we don't care. Mario is asexual. He could be gay. He could be straight.
You know, no, he wants that princess pussy, dude.
Yeah, he did rescue princesses. Like,
no, that's his. Living. That's his sister. While he's going back to bang Luigi. Like, that's how I thought it was.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode. We're here, the four of us. We got Chad.
Hey.
Emilio.
Hey.
And Chi.
Hi there.
And, of course, me. Forgot to throw myself in there. All right, so coming up soon, we got a reminder. The BioShock DL Game Club is coming up soon. We promise. We're just having some scheduling difficulties getting, you know, it's hard getting like four or five people together to be able to record something.
Especially yeah. Hopefully, since we're all terrible at scheduling.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get in the can tomorrow, so it should be out shortly after
that. Ooh, in the can. We sound professional.
Yep. Now that we have studios and mics and all this stuff, yeah, it's getting good. If you're new to the podcast and you're wondering who Chad, Emilio, Bobby, and Chi are, we have a new segment that is Chi interviewing. Because Chi's new to the podcast, she needs to get to know us as well. So she's going to interview one of us every week for the next... Well, there's two more weeks because the first one is at the end of this episode. Yeah. If you don't give a fuck, don't listen to it. But if you want to know
or
why...
Or if you've heard everything already.
Yeah. Hey, if you already know us, whatever.
No, you should definitely listen to it.
Yeah, it was me and I was a little drunk. So, surprise, surprise.
And it's a little bit more of my voice, which I know you guys all love.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, these like smooth new mic setups as well. So, I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
Wait till you hear it. Sounds like smooth sex coming out of the mic.
Is it first... First time you were able to listen to the episode, right,
Jack? Seriously, even I sounded good. So yeah. Something's got to be going on. Little follow up on those interviews. We're going to get through the three of us, and then we're going to get back to listener spotlights. We've had three or four people say that they're interested in doing it. We appreciate you guys being interested. We will get to you guys. We just got to get through these interviews of us first, and then we will get right back to you guys.
Yeah, in the
we come first.
Yeah, exactly.
In the meantime, try to come up with, like, even if you have to make it up, just come up with some cool stories. So when we interview you, I have something to say, like you were in Nam or whatever. That'll work.
You got bit by a shark.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Something.
Please don't get bit by a shark. I do not wish that upon you.
Have you seen the scars on Amino, by the way?
Shark bites?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it wasn't a big shark, but...
It was a small Mako, I think, in Hawaii.
How did you defend yourself?
Professionally surfing, and he had to punch it in the nose.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is all completely false, but he does have scars.
I do have scars, that much is
true.
Are they deeper physically or emotionally after that event?
I just don't
like to talk about it.
He actually said he didn't give a fuck, but I don't believe it.
He was like shark in my bow.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
It was my first time hanging out with, like really hanging out with Sam's dad yesterday. And I tried to show off my cool scars. Didn't work. He was not impressed at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Compared to Sam's dad. Yeah. He's like, so what? Like, have you been in a Mexican jail before?
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to me then.
Or he's actually been in Nam.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to jump in with a bunch of shark facts that I learned on Shark Week, but I figured nobody cares.
Sharks are cool.
Yeah.
Sharks are cool, and the chances of surviving a shark attack are actually pretty slim because their teeth are like fucking razors, and you will bleed out so quick.
Yeah. But this isn't a shark podcast. This is a gaming podcast.
Could it be both.
Should we switch it up?
I just heard about the Megalodon. I have a lot of things on that.
No.
Megalodons are born,
just stop.
They're 20 feet long. They're the size of the biggest great white we have. That's a baby one.
Yeah, wow.
Happy Mother's Day. We all know what mothers have to endure now.
Could you imagine?
20 feet long births.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Unless you're like a panda, right? Don't they like have pea-sized babies when they come out? Anyways, let's get back to games.
Okay.
Speaking of sharks, we've got a new review up on the website by Team Tom. No, I'm just joking. It has nothing to do with sharks, but we'd said that a lot last week. We kept saying, speaking of, like, It was such an awkward transition. You guys got to get some headsets, man. This sounds great. Like, I'm on another level over here. I know I mentioned that last week, but this is just, you think the mics are great. Put a headset on.
Well, maybe we'll get it set up next week.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to do that. But anyway, new review by Team Tom, Rise, Son of Rome. He rated this one not too high, which I'm not surprised by. We've talked about this. I think we've all played it. Chi, have you played that one?
Rise, I have not.
I haven't played it either.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did, because I wanted to try it with my... Bobby always brings up Rise as
the graphics, right?
One of the games that has really good graphics if you crank it all the way up. So when I got the new 970, I booted up Rise to give it a go, and it did look nice.
Yeah, it's a great looking game. It was one of those games that came out with the whole next gen console thing, so they were really just showing off the engine and the graphics and what the new Xbox could do. But it looks great on the PC too. I mean, not a whole lot to the game. I think it's about 5 or 6 hours long.
I thought you really enjoyed it.
I did, which is really ironic because I saw this game and I was like, quick time events. They copied the combat from Batman. Like, I hated this game on principle. Like, when I first saw it, I was just like I don't care for this at all. And then, like, maybe a year or two later, I got around to playing it and I ironically really liked it.
It totally won you over. I remember you were doing time trials and shit, right?
Yeah, I did a bit of the arcade mode. They have like a multiplayer mode that I kind of found fun. There's a little more depth to that game than a lot of people realize. The whole combo thing, like there's a way that you can hit the combos exactly to get, what do they call it, like Fiery Eagle or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Some special thing that you can do. And that's the real trick, is doing that consistently. And that was really fun once I discovered that part of it. But I totally understand what a lot of people complain about. And I think Team Tom did in its review as well, is that it gets a little repetitive.
It's one of those games where when I'm really bored one day, I'll download it and check it out.
It's definitely worth a play.
Yeah, the single player.
What did he give it? Hours. He gave it a not favorable, like a.
No, I mean he gave it a. He has his own review system.
Spoilers,
I
think it's guys.
About five. No, it's okay. You know, people always scroll to the bottom line anyway. They're looking for that numerical value. Yeah, Tom's scorecard. He's got 1 through 6, and this one's right in the middle on a 3. Only recommended when on sale, and I would
agree with that.
Yeah, this has been on sale for like $6 or $7. So, yeah, totally worth that.
Is it one of those you have to play with a controller, or can you bypass?
It's preferable with a controller, but you can play with mouse and keyboard.
Well, it's made for the Xbox. Yeah. I played it on mouse and keyboard, so it's possible.
You can't ask Bobby that question. Bobby plays everything on mouse and keyboard.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and everybody knows he's the best one of us three at video games. But
not on controller.
But not as soon as he comes over for some party games, like some couch co-op, he's done, son.
Super Smash Bros?
Yeah, he sucks.
Oh, yeah.
We need to have a Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, like really never in my life played a Super Smash Bros. Game.
This will be good. Yeah. This would be Chad's like shot at redemption, really.
Chad does always win when we play. What's the one with the gummy characters?
Gang Beasts.
Gang Beasts,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm a savant when it comes to Gang Beasts, apparently.
Yeah, he used.
There's a couple. Speaking of Super Smash Brothers, there's a couple Smash Brothers
clones
that are PC only. Valhalla Rising is one that comes to mind. There's another one that
Aether.
We might sit down and, as a Smash Brothers expert, Chi over here. Maybe give it some of those other ones a go and see how they compare to Smash Brothers.
We could play all three in one night and like compare them all. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd be like the controllers versus Bobby's mouse and keyboard. Yeah. That's why you're not good at it, Bobby.
Yeah. We'll see. Even a game like Rocket League, where I know it's preferable to like. There's some platformer games where it's like, controller makes sense, but Rocket League, a lot of people will argue the same thing, but still I find a way to make the mouse and keyboard work on that, because I'm going to be better at that game with the mouse and keyboard than with the controller, no matter how much easier it is.
That was like Dark Souls 2, right? Wasn't
three.
Dark Souls 3 like way better with controller, but
it was
Bobby would probably play
that
mouse
was two
keyboard.
For me.
Yeah,
that's the only Dark Souls I played.
Cool, let's get into some games.
Yeah, so Battleborn, have you guys been playing it?
Oh yeah.
How many hours do you think? 3 to 4?
No, we did more than that. We've done several of the multiplayers. We've done like
once each.
Yeah, and then we did what, 5, 6 of the single player ones together?
Yeah.
So we've probably played 5 or 6 hours.
Quick overview. This is it Bethesda? No, it's Gearbox. This is Gearbox's throwing their hat into the
MOBA
ability shooter.
Ability shooter is what we've. There's like a new genre.
Okay.
It's kind of like shooters where your guys have abilities.
It's a first-person shooter, but it's first-person shooter, but you've got long cooldown abilities, and they're more complex than throwing a grenade or anything like that. These are all ones that you can use as many times as long as the cooldown's up. So traditional shooters, you usually have two guns, a knife, and grenades, like a Counter-Strike or whatever. This mm-hmm. one, for example, your knife would be a much stronger weapon, but you can only use it once every 6 seconds or whatever like that.
That's awesome.
It's basically MOBA characters in first-person environments.
Yeah, but this doesn't have MOBA maps. There's no MOBA map here.
There's a MOBA. So
there's no lanes.
There's no lanes.
There's one.
There's one that is similar to a single-lane MOBA.
Yeah.
It's just one lane with stuff on the sides.
Yeah, it branches okay. off.
It doesn't. No, the two. Oops, sorry. I hit the mic stand. My bad.
So is it more like a shooter, like an arena shooter in that sense, or like a team-based shooter?
So I always, the people at my work were talking a lot about Overwatch because Overwatch recently went open beta. Mm-hmm. So people were talking, Battleborn just released and Overwatch just came out. So people were talking about the two of them.
Right.
So I would say Overwatch is more of the arena shooter mm-hmm. versus Battleborn is more, I felt Battleborn was a little bit slower and you needed to do more team-oriented stuff versus Overwatch is a lot like TF2, but taken to the next level where it's not just 9 different characters, it's 20 different characters, and they have different roles, and they kind of can play against each other. So that's kind of...
So it's inevitable that these two are going to get compared to the
same. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
It's a new genre, and they're the first two big ones to market. And so the way I looked at it is... okay, so the biggest discrepancies between the two is this has a fully fleshed out like story and a co-op. You can play co-op versus AI, and it's challenging and fun. You know, it's that whole Gearbox. If you like the comedy from
Borderlands,
yeah. You're going to like – it's the same comedy, you know. Like they beep out when they're clearly cussing and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've chuckled quite a few times.
Yeah, it's been humorous.
Yeah, for sure. And all the big robots seem to have the same voice, but whatever. Anyway, so I'm enjoying that. And Overwatch doesn't have anything like that. Overwatch is straight, you know, you're playing payload over and over and over, which is
great.
There
is no single player in Overwatch.
There's no single player at all.
You can play against AI, but even then, you'll have player teammates that have joined you against the AI.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. You kind of answered my question that I was going to ask you earlier. So comparing the two, at least when it comes to team-oriented and emphasis on having good players on your team, which one would you say it's you need more effective people to play with in order to enjoy your time?
Ooh, Overwatch.
I would say in Overwatch, one guy can win you the game.
Oh. So here's the deal with Overwatch. Doesn't have a leveling up system when you're playing. You get your abilities, but then when you die, you can switch your class and keep going. Okay. In Battleborn, you cannot switch your class, but you are leveling up. So as you're leveling up, you're choosing between two different skill improvements.
Perks.
As you're leveling up. Okay. So it's more of a MOBA style where you're leveling up to get to whatever the 12 or 15 or whatever it is.
Okay.
And I guess you could pick things to counter things that you're against.
Yeah. So
maybe a little more depth there.
So the character that I have been playing in Battleborn is named Montana, and he's got a rail gun, but he's slower and more tanky.
That's a Gatling gun, dude.
Yeah. Chain gun, whatever.
Huge difference.
The macaroni gun.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's a rail gun.
It's definitely not a rail gun. It's a Gatling gun. Rail gun is one shot.
He uses a chain gun.
Fuck.
Anyways.
Surrounded by...
Anyways, you can build him tankier so you can improve his shield and his health, or you can build him offensively where he loses his speed up, his warm up animation, and
he's the heavy, he does from more damage. TF2.
He's basically the heavy from TF2.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The other big difference. So obviously, Battleborn has single player, and it's a fun single player. It's like five mans. If you like five mans from WoW or anything else like that, they're basically five mans where you have patrols or whatever, and then you get to a boss and you fight the boss and he drops loot. So
Borderlands,
not Borderlands
at
all.
Exactly Borderlands.
It's not at all like Borderlands.
He said once that it wasn't like Borderlands, and he stuck with it. Meanwhile, everything's exactly the same, which is not a bad thing. Borderlands is fantastic. Borderlands 2 is one of the greatest things. You're basically playing Borderlands.
Is Borderlands an open world?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an open
world. But it has levels that are linear.
So you are being... single player version of Battleborn is similar to Borderlands.
Not at all. The single player of Battleborn is exactly a five man. That's exactly what it is.
So it's just like a dungeon in WoW.
A dungeon. Sense. Yeah, you select the level, you go into the dungeon, you go through a series of
patrols. Are there dungeons in Borderlands, dude?
No, there's not.
There absolutely are.
Absolutely not.
Oh my God, you're fucking full of shit.
It's almost like live action in Borderlands because it's open world. So
yeah.
Maybe you don't really realize that you're in a dungeon because you kind of just immerse yourself and you could kind of pull away from it. Where when I think of a dungeon in an MMO, you're in that world and you can't really go outside that boundary.
Exactly.
Okay, until one little difference. One little difference. But everything else, you're playing co-op, trying to get best loot you can from bosses in first person with the same colors of the things dropping, hordes of things running at you. You're trying to get headshots. It's the exact same game, dude.
No.
Better graphics, though. It's really gorgeous.
There's gear in this game?
There is, but only the bosses drop them similar to a five-man. You only get boss loot from the boss, and it'll be like the green, blue, orange, similar to, WoW loot.
Okay, but the most important question, can you get ninja looted playing single player?
No, because when somebody picks up the loot, it disseminates.
Everybody gets it.
It disseminates to everybody.
Okay, that's awesome.
So if he picks a blue, we all get blues.
Yeah,
but
they're different
blues.
So it just randomizes the blue.
So basically, you got something that good. Anyway, so let's say, do we like it, Chad? I think we like it a lot.
I liked it so much. I bought the collector's edition. Deluxe edition with the season pass on it as well. So I will be playing this some more.
I'm convinced to pick this game up.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Here's what I would say. If you are more interested in PvE style, I like Battleborn. If you are interested more in PvP, if you're interested in competing against other people, I think Overwatch is the better. I had much more fun playing Overwatch against people than I did Battleborn against people.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I would say that. A couple things where I think they kind of dropped the ball. One, the characters aren't as diverse as in Overwatch.
But we only get to play 8 or 9 right now because you unlock them over time.
But those 8 or 9 are all sharing the same abilities already.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I do a really powerful forward gigantic shot, or I do an AOE on the ground, or I have a self-heal. It's just like all generic stuff. A lot of the weapons, I would say the majority of the weapons for me didn't feel satisfying when I was shooting.
Yeah. Well, it just doesn't feel like you're doing damage.
It doesn't. Yeah. I feel like I'm almost watching I don't feel like I'm involved. Yes, I'm playing it and it's fun and all that, but I definitely, there's no immersion. I'm more like, I feel like an observer instead of somebody that's participating.
I definitely understand what you feel, and I agree with that.
Yeah. But in Overwatch, I am so into it. I'm leaning forward in my chair, and I am fucking balls deep in that shit.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing is, Overwatch is a $40 game, and this is a $60 game.
Yeah.
And I think that's a crucial difference. Like, $40 game, I'd be much more likely to pick up a $40 game just out of a spur of the moment than I would be to buy a $60 game.
Well, the fact that Battleborn has a single-player mode justifies that $20.
I agree.
I think.
I agree.
Yeah, and they're really well done. They were definitely not a cop-out. They're diverse, even though they're not unique. I've seen those things before, but each level is not like the one before. Actually, we've done like 5 of them, and one's a escort mission, one's a defend.
Yep, they're all different.
They're all different. So,
and the bosses have been fun. There's one where you have to collect money to set up turrets to knock him down so you can do damage, versus another one where he's just standing and you got to fight him, versus another one that has different phases. The bosses are fun in Battleborn.
Because this is a Gearbox game and published by 2K, we can safely assume that there's going to be loads and loads of DLC on this, probably new characters, new maps.
And like I said, I already bought the season pass, which means they will be doing paid for DLC and they will be doing paid for expansions. So take it as you will. So really, maybe it's a $75 game because that's what I bought for the deluxe digital.
If you were going to do one, I would just personally I would go with Overwatch. But if you're a diehard Borderlands fan and you want, you're not going to get the same amount of content, not even close. Borderlands had so much more, but this is kind of like a half and half, you know, half PvP and half PvE.
So, yeah, it straddles on that line, the PvE PvP line nicely, where I felt very satisfied playing PvE and then I felt satisfied playing PvP.
Yeah, they did really well with that.
Yeah. I guess the biggest question for me between the two games when it comes to picking one over the other, of course, is the replayability. One, of course, Overwatch comparing to TF2 and then the other to a MOBA. Both of these games have a lot of longevity to them. Which one do you think you can play without tiring out most?
I could play Overwatch for a job.
It's Overwatch because if Battleborn had the complexity of a MOBA, like League of Legends, like Dota had the real in-depth of that, mm-hmm. I would be very interested in that, but it doesn't. It's not, okay. It doesn't feel like a game where they're going to release a new character every month and that character kind of influences play and then they're changing loot. You don't pick loot, you don't pick up coins while you're playing. They've got a different kind of loot system that you set up prior to going into the game. So it doesn't have that complexity that MOBAs would have when you're playing the PvP part. It makes up for it in the PvE, but at the same time, I could see myself getting tired of the PvE PvP part of Battleborn. Okay. But Overwatch, never. It's like the best part of TF2 and the best part of Counter-Strike. It's just so good.
Oh, wow.
Really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to pick up both now.
There was a guy
at work. A tough one, though. Like, that, $100 to spend on two games is a lot of money. Like I said, if you had to do one, it would have to be Overwatch.
Well, again, taking into consideration the developer and the publisher, Borderlands games you can buy like $10 for the whole package in the season pass. Borderlands 2 constantly on sale for $5. Those games depreciate in value very quickly. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Battleborn get really cheap really quick.
But it's been getting really positive reviews, right, Bobby?
So is Borderlands, but that still plummets in price quickly.
For you, Chi, because I know you're a big Counter-Strike player, it's got to be Overwatch. Like, for sure. You're going to have a blast playing that game. And it's open beta right now, so you can just download and play right now for free. Like, you can just check it out.
And they've said that what you're playing right now in the open beta is the final product.
Yeah, they're not going to reset the loot or anything. So
No, but I meant like this is the version, launch version.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, you have all your loot and stuff. Oh, one last thing. I don't even know if it's worth mentioning, but on Battleborn, to even add a little more complexity, a little more, a little more like, I don't know, personality or like trying to do your own thing. Like Chad said, you can set up your loot beforehand. But then there's currency in the game, and you could spend the currency on.
Yeah, the currency turrets. is a very unique thing in this game. I've never seen a game that does this.
Yeah, you're picking up currency in the PvP,
but you're not picking it up from killing things, similar to a MOBA. Normally, a MOBA, you're killing creeps, and they're dropping gold, and then you're spending that gold on items. This game has little like, what is it? Sun
gold
shards.
Nodes. Gold
I think,
nodes.
I think it's related to the last star or whatever. So you're picking up these star currency, whatever this is.
Yeah.
And you can buy it. You can spend 300 on a turret where the turret will kind of assist
your team.
Or you could, if you've got a white item, maybe it only costs 300 to unlock that white item. So when you get in, you've got three item slots and you've gotten your items, but they don't actually work until you spend currency in game to do it. So you get those 300 and you can buy a turret or you can upstart your white item. But then like your a blue or a green maybe costs 600 or 800 respectively. And then a gold, which is legendary, mine are 1800 to unlock. So you're not unlocking that till halfway through a PvP match.
Okay. Must be nice to have some legendaries.
Well, that's what happens when you buy the digital deluxe edition. You get some of those.
Try to wrap that up. That was a little complex. But basically you pick three items to go into the game before the game starts. Once you get in the game, none of those items are doing anything for you until you invest in-game currency in those items. So you build up and you can pick which one you want to. So let's say I put on speed boots. Those speed boots don't do anything until I put $300 into my speed boots.
Yeah.
And then it works.
But you have to go out of your way to get the 300 currency.
Yes. You have to kind of leave the battle.
Yeah, you can't just earn that currency in the course of normal PvP fighting or whatever.
So you have to waste time collecting.
You have to make a choice. First of all, you got to go collect
like
it.
Farming?
Yeah, kind of like farming. You kind of have to like jungle or whatever.
There was at a point where I said this is kind of like a jungling. Remember?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's interesting. It has a lot to it, but like we said, the biggest thing for me is the shooting kind of fell flat, and it's a shooting. It's a shooter. So yeah,
exactly right.
But it's beautiful, by the way. Beautiful. The best cel shaded graphics I've ever seen. Gorgeous game.
And it's got that intro cartoon that probably is like 10 minutes.
Yeah, they went with Japanese anime. Kind of.
Yeah, and it's got music going on. I think, you know, they really invested into the budget of this game. Like, you can tell.
Definitely a triple A.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. I don't know if I'm going to be picking this up. I'm going to be honest with you.
You are picking up Overwatch, though, right?
I already have.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But you haven't played yet for the open beta, right?
No.
Okay.
And what is the official Overwatch?
The 24th of May, I believe.
Oh, then I'll be guns loaded and ready then to play with you guys.
Yeah.
If you spend
when it comes out.
For sure.
If you spend $40 on gaming this year, it's got to be Overwatch. It's
who
that
spends
good.
Money on gaming when you stream?
Yeah, exactly.
Again, you know, I talk about games like they're stocks, but Overwatch is not going to be going on sale anytime soon. Battleborn is going to be dropping in price constantly. I don't know what it is about Gearbox games, even the Batman games. Like, those ones always drop in price. It's so weird. All right, so moving on, highlights and lowlights of this week. What have you guys been playing?
Bobby, why don't you go first, since we haven't heard your beautiful voice for about 15 minutes.
Okay, I feel like you're making me go first because you guys are trying to assess the beer situation over
there.
It's
true. We are
quietly opening.
She's not drinking with us, though, because she's got to work, but the rest of us are imbibing.
Let's see. What have I been playing? You know, I meant to mention last week that my new hard drive came in. I went through that RMA process with Intel, which I was very worried about. But they came through. They gave me a brand new hard drive, not only a new Intel 750, but the model right above it. The manufacturer number on it is just like slightly off. I looked it up and it's actually a little bit faster. So they really hooked it up on that.
And this is the one where you were like, no, I don't want the refurbished. They were going to give you refurbished and you fought them on it?
Yeah, I was very worried they were going to send me a refurb because I've been through so many warranties before and I know how that shit goes down.
Bobby stands up to the man constantly.
I need you on my side, Bobby. For sure, Bobby. Ever since I constructed my PC, which I actually have on my YouTube, I did a co-streaming on my Twitch where me and another Twitch streamer built my PC together. On the second day, my hard drive, my, I think, 3 terabyte hard drive died on me. So I've been only running on my solid state drive. Oh, if you are one that can work around warranties.
That's definitely got to be under warranty. I'm the warranty master. I know how to get through all that shit.
Let's do it.
All jumping through hoops, too, which is what it's like a mail-in rebate when they used to do that. You know, it's like they're betting on the fact that you're too lazy to go through it. But
absolutely.
That's me. I've actually had things in envelope with a stamp on them and still not sent them.
Yeah.
I have procrastinated since literally day
but
one.
A warranty, I think almost any piece of hardware you buy has at least a year warranty on it. Because this hard drive I had was so expensive, it had a 5-year warranty. And I was not even a year into it when this happened. And it's an Intel product, so I was surprised that it went bad. But hard drives do go bad a lot. And that's the one thing that's going to go on you.
So they took care of you, though.
Yeah,
even solid states. I thought solid part of the perk of a solid state was it wouldn't die as often.
No, solid states are much better. Okay. The best thing about them is if you put them in a laptop, laptops get moved around. Spinning hard disks hate to be moved around. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about that with an SSD. It's basically like a USB drive. When those originally came out, they had some problems with the controllers on it, and there were certain hard drives that you really want to stay away from, but they've kind of ironed out all those problems. But yeah, solid state, you're way better off with for a lot of reasons.
So have you actually had a chance to use this, or are you still in the scenario where your computer's out of the way?
I had a chance to use it for about 3 or 4 days. Yeah.
And wait, your computer, I mean, can you play games right now?
No.
Okay.
On my laptop. which is why last week I said I'm just going to be playing a bunch of Hearthstone.
Right. And, how'd that go?
It went well at first because the new Whispers of the Old God came out, and they did away with some of the Naxxramas cards.
Yep.
And my biggest complaint about Hearthstone was that, like, I never really got that into it. So I'm using all the basic cards, and people are whipping out, like, fucking 12-12 dragons mm-hmm. and just crushing me. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm, like, putting out my 1-1 paladins. and it's just been a stomp. And, like, I lose 90% of my games. But ever since Whispers of the Old God came out, I won a lot more. And I'm just using straight-up, like, basic decks that come with the game. You know, I haven't even, like, put anything into them.
So you didn't buy any of the Whispers? You're just using the base cards?
Yeah, I'm just using the basic decks, and okay. I'm winning a lot more, but now I've been playing all week, and like quite a bit actually, and I'm seeing people shift over to the new Whispers cards,
which
use C'Thun, and it's really weird how this mechanic operates in this game. Like, you're basically buffing this one card in your deck constantly, and then whenever that card comes out, you play it, and it's super powerful. So it's like you play, you throw down a guy and he gives your C'Thun like +2/+2, you know, +2 attack, +2 health. And whenever you play that C'Thun god, then he automatically does however much damage he has. And then he's also, you know, he can attack next turn.
A giant monster, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm guessing they're going to add more gods. Is that how this is going to work?
No, all four gods are out. So really? You got C'Thun, you've got Nuzgoth. You've got Yogg-Saron, and there's one more, and I always forget that guy's name.
I wonder how you get the other ones, because I've only seen C'Thun.
They're all, you just got to get them in packs.
Okay.
C'Thun was automatic. The other ones, you have to get them in packs. Exactly. So there's not going to be a lot of them.
They set it up so that that beginners and people that aren't spending money can play a C'Thun deck, mm-hmm. because you get C'Thun and you get some of his followers. And most of his other followers are usually white, you know, like you can craft them really cheap.
Yeah, I've gotten a ton of them. And I really like what they're doing with the new expansion. If you just log into Hearthstone, you get 3 packs right off the bat. If you win a couple of games, you get a few more packs. If you win like 7 more games, you get 5 more packs. So I've got about 10 packs of Whispers.
It's cool, huh?
Yeah. So I wish they would
do
more of
that. Those packs are super sweet. Have you opened the one yet?
Oh, yeah, I opened all of them.
Oh, cool.
Got anything of note? I was pissed mm-hmm. because I bought that 50 pack. You know, they do the $50 for 50 pack and you get the card back. So I did that. I opened the whole pack. I got one legendary out of 50 packs.
Wow.
I was like, all my
Which
other.
Which is the going rate, though, right?
I think so.
I got a legendary out of my 10 packs.
Boom. See? In your face.
Yeah.
And I had another buddy. He got 4 legendaries. My other buddy got 2 or 3 legendaries. And I'm like, what the fuck? I have the worst luck in that fucking game.
You know, I would have done that 50 for 50 deal, too, if it was still around.
Oh, okay.
Because I've really started to get into it. But I haven't even explored the whole deck building side of this game, which is a huge part of it.
Do you do Arena?
I've done Arena once. To give you an idea of how much I've played this game, over this week, I finally hit the 100 wins so I could get
nice.
The mount in Heroes of the Storm, which I've been trying to get forever. And yeah, so I didn't even have 100 wins in Hearthstone. That's how little I played the game until this week.
I was a little surprised that they haven't done more. You know, they always do a thing where you buy something and you also get perks in their other games.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like when they came out with Overwatch, they didn't do a whole lot of perks to the other games.
No.
Oh, well, yeah, they did. Yeah. If you bought the deluxe edition, you get a portrait in StarCraft II. You get Tracer a week early in Heroes of the Storm. And
well, here is super OP.
Yeah, well, they nerfed the hell out of her last week, though. Mm. She's a little bit better, but she's just, I don't know, a lot of people have taken issue with her because her playstyle is just so different, and it just negates so many things like block. Block's an ability you can get in Heroes of the Storm, you know, yeah. big damage reduction for like 1 or 2 hits, but she attacks like a million times per second. She does a little bit of damage, but she does it really fast.
Mm.
So there are things like, you know, the chests on Blackheart's Bay where they don't have a health pool. You just have to hit them a certain amount of times
right.
and then they
oh, she can out. Just pop those things.
Yeah. Instantaneously.
Yeah. Gosh, so
there's
damn.
A few things about her that just don't
mesh with
jive
the rest
well
of the game.
With the rest of the game.
Right.
It was a really weird addition, and a lot of people didn't like it. I don't know.
All right. So she had to step out, and she had to go to work. She works evenings, and we record evenings, so it's like a scheduling thing. But I think over the next few weeks, we'll probably sort that whole thing out.
Yeah.
But
we like having Chi on. So we just need to work out our schedule. Yeah. 4 people is much harder to schedule with than 3. So we will get that figured out. But yeah.
Cool.
What else? What else we got going on?
Well, I talked a lot about Hearthstone. Why doesn't someone else pick it up with another game here?
So sure. Dawn of War 3 was announced. It had a pretty cool trailer. I enjoyed the trailer, but I was like, okay, is this going to be Dawn of War 1 where you have hundreds of units on screen at the same time? Or is this going to be Dawn of War 2 where you're commanding 6 to 10 guys, which I didn't like at all. It was more like...
It wasn't even an RTS at that point, right?
It is, but it's like, you know, much more micromanaging. Like, you're worried about this guy having a grenade or not. Like, one guy. And whether or not he has a grenade or a health pack instead. And, you know, people enjoyed it. It was really well received. So both were. But this looks like they're going back to Dawn of War 1, and I couldn't be more excited. I saw some screen pictures, and I saw at least 100 units on screen at once, and the graphics look fucking amazing. And
well, Dawn of War was one of your favorite games. Yeah. You talked about that for a while.
Probably 100 hours I played. And this is all, you know, what's great about PC gaming and just gaming in general is, like, you could play things the way you want. I think all that time of Dawn of War, I didn't play. I played online maybe 5 times. I play offline on easy, and I'm just more about, like, watching all the animations and all the possibilities play out and building up the most powerful army, even though there's not opposition. I just love going down every tech tree and seeing what the game had so much to offer that it took me 100 hours just to see every unit be able to kill, because there's specific animations that, because I'm terrible at RTS. So I just played at my own place and I loved it. And the second one, Dawn of War 2, I believe I beat that game, but I played just a campaign.
If we're talking trailers and announcements, I got to bring up Battlefield 1. Did you guys see the Battlefield 1 announcement trailer?
Yeah, it's in the news.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't see the trailer though.
Okay, Battlefield 1. So it's kind of a cool concept, which is really weird. So it's an alternate World War One is basically what this is.
Oh, I know.
So World War One setting where they've got like biplanes and stuff like that.
They had biplanes.
And dirigibles and stuff.
Dirigibles?
Yeah, apparently.
What is that?
The thing is a dirigible, like the Hindenburg.
They had those in World War One, dude. How is that alternate?
I think the alternate is... I didn't see the announcement, so I don't know for 100%, but it looks like it's on American soil.
Oh.
But I don't know if that's the truth or not.
Well, I've always said, and this is the reason that, well, I've said this since I heard that podcast on World War One, that a long podcast, 6 or 7 hours.
What's the name of the podcast?
It's Hardcore History.
Yeah, Hardcore History.
And I forget the name, Merchants of Doom or something. No, it was something else. But anyway. Just look for World War One. But after listening to that, I had a whole different respect for World War One. And you can't really make a game out of it. You would have to change it, because who wants to play 3 years of
trench warfare and like
where you can't go anywhere?
All it is people taking pot shots out of trenches,
pot shots, and trying to shell shock other troops.
Well, that's the thing. Like World War One is never used in games because there's nothing fun about it.
It's a really shitty.
And it sounds like Red Orchestra.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no villain. Like World War II had the Nazis, like one of the quintessential villains of video games. World War One's who are you fighting against? The Prussians? Who are the enemies in World War One?
Everybody was
spiky
fighting.
Helmet.
Yeah.
Everybody was fighting the Germans for the most part, but they weren't the Nazi party yet. So it was just like the greatest army who had ever existed, the German army, taking on pretty much the whole world and almost pulling it off. That's how crazy.
Like who was even the general or the leader? Or
it wasn't really personality driven,
right? Like nobody knows anything about World War One because it was like, I don't know. So I find it odd that they're doing World War One, but if they're doing an alternate reality World War One, I think there could be some really cool things because you can inject personality, you can inject fun things into the World War One.
It sounds like we're criticizing the war like it's a TV show.
It's a super shitty like war.
The characters were just really bad.
Who wrote this thing?
Terrible. Yeah,
it was a super shitty war. Like,
it got canceled after like four seasons. Yeah. So
there's just problems on set. I mean, it was a disaster. World War II, though.
The wacky neighbor. Yeah. He kind of carried that whole war. The wacky neighbor. The Poles. I don't know.
So, anyways, that was announced. Obviously, it was a very console-driven announcement, but this is Battlefield. It'll come to PC.
No, not just that, and this is going to come up later, but the...
Is it going to come up right now?
Well, the first time that they're actually going to show it playing, I think on a PC, is going to be on those new cards we're going to bring up later.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
All right, so what's Neon Chrome?
Neon Chrome is a twin stick shooter on Steam for, it's always 10% off, $13.99. It's pretty well received. I love these twin stick shooters, and I like roguelikes, so this is right up my alley, so I started playing it. And
Cyberpunk, so that's hitting Bobby's.
Yeah, Bobby's going to enjoy the colors.
We brought this up a few weeks ago under new releases.
New releases, yeah.
Oh, is this the one where... We were talking about Bobby's potentially favorite game, or is this some other one?
Don't remember.
Okay.
But anyway, I guess it's not on sale right now, but I can't recommend it. After playing...
You sound like Bobby last week.
After playing... what was the other one that I was...
Enter the Gungeon?
No, that I played last week. There's another twin stick shooter that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I can't keep track of all the twin stick shooters.
You used to play a lot of twin stick shooters.
Was it Enter the Gungeon that I was talking about like last week?
No, that was Enter the Gungeon was like 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Fuck, what was I playing?
Do you remember the art style or anything?
God damn it.
The listeners right now are just shouting at you answer.
Anyway, man, I had this whole thing. I was comparing the two.
Go to our website, bring up the tags, let's find out what it is. And this is a good time to bring up the fact that
our website has everything DL Gaming related.
Yeah, DLGaming.net. It's got Team Tom's reviews. You can...
Oh, Deadly Tower of Monsters. There we go.
Deadly Tower of Monsters.
Yeah. So last week I fell in love with this Deadly Tower of Monsters, and I said, you know, there's not a whole lot of things that are new here, but they put it together in a nice package and is brand new, and the production value. And if you're going to do things that aren't new and you don't have any new ideas, present them in a way that is new and you know, really involve your player. This is just a bunch of stuff that I've seen before with there's no inspiration here. There's no I didn't see passion. All I saw was somebody throwing a game together. And I'm sorry if you're the developer and like you really poured your heart and soul into it, but I didn't see it. This game probably has better mechanics than Deadly Tower of Monsters, but just the presentation alone was just so amazing that it's the difference between these two games.
Okay.
This is, if you want to play along with Emilio, and how I think, you play these two games, compare to, and you'll see what the difference I think a good game and a bad game is. Besides them both being twin stick shooters with very similar mechanics and all of that, there's a huge difference between how something is presented and not presented.
Presentation.
I mean, the screenshots that I'm looking at don't look terrible.
Yeah, I almost picked this up for free, but I mean, I almost picked this up. I almost paid for this.
Just because of the screenshots and all?
Yeah, I was almost sold, and then I saw, oh, Team Tom owns this already. So
shout out to Team Tom's video games. We love them.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I forgot to put this in the show notes, but I'll bring it up right now. A couple of weeks ago, I had mentioned I wanted to check out a lot of these gaming documentaries that they had on Steam. And lo and behold, Devolver, who is a publisher that we've praised a lot, had a sale this past week. And a lot of those documentaries that they had published were on sale, one on Atari, which I don't know how much I'm going to get out of that one because I've seen every single Atari documentary. I know the whole story.
There's a bunch of those ones.
Yeah, there's quite a bit.
Wait, hold on. So Devolver publishes
film
documentaries
as well?
Okay.
Yeah, film as well on on Steam. So I picked up a couple of them, one on Burning Man, one on Atari. I got free copies of Burning Man.
Like the music festival?
These are not necessarily gaming related. The one that I had mentioned a couple weeks ago that I wanted to watch, though, was that one about gay gamers. So I checked that one out, and it didn't really offer up like any new insight that I wasn't really already aware of. It was a lot of people talking about just, you know, the representation of homosexuals in gaming. And it's kind of stuff I've heard before, and it almost felt a little dated because, I don't know, it seems like there's been a bit more representation for them in games recently, but maybe that's just my perspective. It's funny to see them talk about which games they felt were good in that regard and which ones were lacking.
Well, the ones that had gays were good, and then the ones that didn't weren't? Like,
not necessarily. I mean, obviously, Mass Effect, they kept pointing back to that one because that one gives you the option to be gay or to not be gay. But
Stardew Valley, right? You hooked up with a dude in Stardew, right?
No. Stardew Valley, you can hook up with dudes, I don't think that game had come out by the time this documentary did. They also praised League of Legends because that has a pretty strict policy against homophobia with their tribunal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Some of the games that they said not so much, though, was like Grand Theft Auto V. They were kind of using that as the example of a game that is made for like that white male ages 18 to 25 or something, you know, and that they made an interesting point. And
that's our demographic, Bobby.
I don't think so.
Don't disturb
us. Podcast listeners are typically over 25.
Yeah.
At least from what I know.
And I don't know.
I can see what they're saying though, because if homosexuality was brought up in that game, it was always like the butt of the joke.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But gaming in general is a very macho, not mm-hmm. macho, but very male dominated still, yeah. And very.
Yeah. Well, the same argument can be made for women and minorities.
Exactly.
Well.
That's what I mean. Like,
But the interesting thing that they said, I guess, is the documentary. The documentary is called Gaming in Color, by the way. One interesting point that they did make, and I think we've kind of touched on this before, is that it's actually not profitable for companies that are making AAA games to take a risk and have gay characters in there. And we've mentioned that before for women and for minorities. Like, I think Chad actually brought it up, and this may have been even a year ago, where they financially can't do that because they will lose sales. I mean, as progressive and right as people would think that would be, it's just, it comes down to a financial reason in the bottom line.
Yeah, but here's the thing that always astounds me is the very essence of gaming is to be interactive and to have the player choose, not the creator choose. And so you would think that we would hit the point where the player could choose to play it as they want. If they want to play it as gay, if they want to play it as a female, if they want to play it as a person of color, like, games now.
Everything that you just added, you're adding thousands of dollars for development.
I know, but what's the difference between skinny and fat? Like, if I want to play a fat character, shouldn't I be able to...
Character modeling, thousands of dollars.
I know, but...
Every option that you're talking about is thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you got to do different dialogue options.
I agree with that, but the very essence...
Why? Because fat people sound different than you? Because
no, I'm talking about if you do a female versus male.
I know, I was joking.
This isn't a movie. You know, we don't have a bunch of white males standing in front. If we want, we can do it how we want. And Mass Effect is a good one to praise because you can literally play Commander Shepard as a female, as black, as anything you want, mm-hmm. as gay. Like, games should be striving for that, right? Shouldn't that be
bottom line, goal? Dude? That's all I gotta say. Yeah, bottom line,
it is, you know? And
especially for smaller developers,
you need a face on the poster. At the end of the day, you need a face on the poster. And 9 times out of 10, that's going to be a white male on the face of the poster.
Now, have they ever made a gay video game character, like a protagonist, that it's not an option? It's not something that you get to choose. It's just like, oh, yeah, here's the guy.
Well, there's a My Little Pony game, right? Aren't they all gay?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't know if they have sexuality.
It's mostly played by 35-year-old white men know,
right? I mean, that kind of touches on Rust and what they're doing, where they decide your sexuality.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, and you don't get a choice as a player. You do not get a choice. You they randomly generate that, and then, boom, that's what you get. And a lot of people were upset about that.
I think at the end of the day, gaming is still in a growth state. People like to think that we've hit a maturation on gaming, but I don't think we've hit there yet. We're still growing as a medium.
Well, I don't know. We're talking about cultural things, and cultural things never settle. They're always progressing. So,
true.
Games are going to progress with the culture, you know? A judge just went to jail for not supporting the gay rights movement.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to jail because he didn't.
But
anyway, I really want to bring this up. You had an amazing point when we were talking about...
Wow. Can you say that again?
That's why I have to bring it up.
Yeah. Please repeat that.
He doesn't say them on the podcast. He tells them in casual conversation. We were talking about people bitching about not enough gay characters in Star Wars. And it's just like, right?
Yeah.
That was you I was talking to.
Maybe. Right? I don't know. Say the rest of it.
So it's like, gay people don't have a big dong coming out of their forehead. How can you tell who's gay or not?
Yeah.
Any one of those aliens in the cantina could be gay. You just don't know. Like, what do these people want? Like, does he have to be fabulous and covered in glitter? Like, what?
Yeah, and then you get shit for having the guy look too gay, right?
Right, right, exactly.
Bobby brought up talking about this gays in video games are games that expressively talk about sexuality. Like, Mario could be gay. He probably is. That's with not that his Luigi. Yahoo! Luigi ain't his brother. I hate to tell you guys that. But my point is, we don't care. Mario is asexual. He could be gay. He could be straight.
He wants that princess pussy, dude.
Yeah, he did rescue princesses. Like,
no, that's his sister while he's going back to bang Luigi. Like, that's I thought it was. No?
I don't know how we're constructing this story, but you know, it was a good game.
Just to finish up, sorry, but the Star Wars. There's only two kisses or three kisses all of the Star Wars films together. So there's no sexuality to be played out.
And 1/3 of that was brother and sister. Keep that in mind.
This is true.
Oh, yeah.
So in order for you to know these people are gay, you would have to either make them crazy gay or add another kiss or hug in the movie that doesn't make sense.
Or propagate stereotypes where, like, Captain Phasma is gay because she plays a masculine feminine. You know, like...
Right. Maybe, is that the chick in the silver suit?
Yeah, the chick in the silver... You know what I mean? Like,
well, didn't they hint at one of the characters being gay?
Well, Poe might be.
Yeah, Poe.
Poe
said there was some speculation on that.
And the black dude, right? They're really into each other.
Yeah, Poe and Finn did hug for longer than comfortable amount of time.
That hug lingered.
Yeah, they did. And I think Poe might have grabbed Finn's ass.
Something going on there.
All right, back to video games.
I love that. No, my name's Emilio / Anders Lauge / the lingering hug.
The lingering hug.
I really like that.
The lingering man-on-man hug.
Let's talk a little esports here. We've had a lot of esports going on. Dota 2, the Manila Majors are happening.
Yeah. Have you caught any of this, Bobby?
No, I haven't been watching any Dota 2. I watched a ton of Heroes of the Storm because the summer regionals were happening.
Man, so much esports.
Yeah. And you know what? I want to give a shout out to this great little Chrome extension that I have started using from Gosu Gamers. It's just an extension that you install and you click on it and it just shows you all the matches that are coming up, and you check which ones you want to see. Counter-Strike, Dota, Heroes of the Storm, League of Legends. It just has it right there, and you click on that to get to the link to Twitch and watch it, or it tells you what time they're coming on, like in 5 hours.
Will it alert you if you're not on Chrome?
I don't know if they have an alert system, but it's just so convenient because I'm used to going to the site now and be like, okay, what matches are coming up?
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Gosu Gamers too, by the way. I don't know who's running the show over there, but they're kicking ass because I almost never catch things live, and so I'm always looking for VODs. You know, yeah. I want VODs of this, and you know, trying to find that shit on YouTube.
They have a chronological order, right? You said,
yeah, like
they
you have can
it in chronological
yeah,
they order.
You can go to Gosu and specifically look for the VODs of the previous matches. The only downside is if you're not careful, you can see what the results are. And so, like,
they hide them and you have to click a button to see them. But yeah. They do a really good job archiving that. Not only that, but with Heroes of the Storm, at least, they upload the replay. So you can actually download the replay, play it in the Heroes of the Storm client and move. Yeah. You know, move the camera around wherever you want to watch whatever plays that you want. It's great for analyzing pro play.
Now, is there a sports center that just puts the top 10 plays of the week for all?
I don't know.
Maybe recaps.
I haven't actually checked out the ESPN esports one recently, but they are doing shit like that.
And Yahoo Esports has their own version of that as well. And they just do the stories, basically.
I would love watching a wrap-up at the end of the week. That's what I would do.
So League of Legends is also doing the mid-season invitational. So League of Legends, Dota 2, and Heroes of the Storm are all running esports competitions right now, like big ones.
Are they all getting away from the one big of the year? Are they all getting away from that? Because it seems like it.
I think the way it's kind of looking, like, they run a major maybe every other month or so, most of these ones, and then they run one big one a year, Invitational of the Year, whatever.
The Shanghai majors weren't that long ago for Dota.
I think it's like every month or every other month or something like that.
I don't think it's that often, but with Heroes of the Storm, they have purposely spread it out. So now they have spring, summer, I think winter or maybe fall regionals. They have three regionals, or they have three finals a year instead of one big grand final. And I know Blizzard has purposely done that. I don't know about Dota and League though.
And that's the route that Smite has gone too, where they spread their wealth throughout the year as opposed to, and the upside to that, I guess, is there's a lot more content, and you can almost watch it like a season, like other sports and stuff.
Yeah.
But the downside is you're not catching those headlines, those $19 million and all this stuff.
The money's more spread out. I think it's better for the audience just to have something to watch. And I think it's better for the players too, because the players competing with each other more often makes them better. And Korea has this, they have Gold League, which does this already. And they're just on another level than the American teams. And not only that, but it keeps the teams together longer as well, because a big problem, you know, if any changes are going to happen with an esports team, it's going to be right after one of these big events.
Yeah, for sure. Because they suck dick and then they don't.
Yeah. Or maybe not even that. I mean, when Evil Geniuses won the International 5, they got rid of Aoi 2000, even though they won, you know, all that money, and they still got rid of them. So it could be for a lot of reasons, but you know, if you have a team together for longer, you're going to do better.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been watching League of Legends, the mid-season invitational. They're at the knockout stage, by the way, and CounterLogic Gaming from the US side is still in the top four. So if you're interested in watching US League of Legends,
good time to start,
because there's a reputation in League of Legends, like NA, like if they talk about like an NA flash or an NA play or an NA ult, it's always like they fucked it up. Like NA has the reputation for being the worst.
Yeah. You know what's funny about Heroes of the Storm is NA says that about EU or Europe, and Europe says that about us. Like if someone makes a stupid like Stitches play, they're like, oh, that was an NA hook. And then like the Americans will say, oh, that was an EU hook.
Yeah, exactly. League of Legends does the same thing.
Yeah.
But CounterLogic Gaming is actually doing well in the mid-season invitational. So I think the knockout stages will happen after this comes out. So if you're interested in League of Legends, the mid-season invitational, I've been watching a ton of that.
Or if you're not and you just want to see Americans do well in something or try to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's how people get involved in things for the first time. Something to root for.
Yeah.
This is somebody to check out.
So I've been watching Twitch, and I've also been watching a little bit of the Dota 2. Dude, I love Dota 2 to watch, but for some reason, this Manila Majors hasn't hooked me yet, probably because League of Legends was going at the same time. And, you know, trying to watch all this stuff, which is why I talk about VODs, because you can't watch it when it's going on, because these Manila Majors are happening at, like, midnight or 1 a.m., since it's in the other region. So I've been watching a lot of these Twitch streams, and they keep mentioning these expressions. So I was curious if you guys know them. The first one is 322. Like somebody will make a bad throw or whatever, and people will say 322. Have you heard of this Twitch expression?
I can guarantee I don't know any of these things.
So 322 is an expression to mean like he's playing bad on purpose. And the reason they say that is because one of the pro gamers actually got caught gambling,
Oh, right, right, right. And a Korean guy, right?
I forget if it was a Korean or who. Yeah. And he basically won $322 for throwing this game, but got banned for life, which got then reverted to a 1-year ban. But basically, 322 is an expression to mean like, oh, he's throwing on purpose because he's gambling against his team.
And which then nobody does, but yeah, it's a good, pretty good insult.
Somebody did at one point.
Right, right, right.
The other one was Kale. So it looks like kale, but it's actually a Chinese term. And I think it means basically somebody's experiencing lag. So if somebody does a play where it seems like lag was involved, or the stream starts stuttering or whatever, people will start saying Kale, meaning like there's lag going on. But it's kind of just really interesting. This Twitch culture is so rapid in its movement and what
that's the perfect name for it, culture. And it's funny because something online,
I wish she was here for this, because
this
is perfect for her.
Something I feel like online Twitch culture is probably developing faster than any other culture ever, just because the number of interactions are happening.
Yeah.
Well, it's not only that it develops fast, but I think it also goes away fast too. And it develops own little subcultures.
Yeah.
Like I watch a certain Twitch channel a lot, and that Twitch channel has its own memes and its own sayings. And then you go into another one, or you watch League instead of Heroes of the Storm, and League has its own little niche phrases.
It's a bunch of people trying to one up each other. So like kidding. Everybody's fighting that very like pinnacle. So it's so rapid because everybody's trying to find that next one, that next thing, you know, like that whole meme culture and everything like that. It's fun, but like if you're not involved in it, you get lost so quick.
Yeah. Bobby, I should ask you this on the, from the top, but do you know about this HOTS new ranking system?
Oh yeah, I know all about it.
Okay.
What do you want to know?
What's going on?
Talk to us.
There's been so much going on with Heroes of the Storm. You know how Blizzard is, I explained a couple weeks ago how they are secretive about revealing their new heroes. I mean, they're like that with a lot of stuff. So they invited all the top Twitch streamers and a lot of influential people in the hero scene, like, casters, you know, whoever. They invited them over to, Anaheim, you know, Blizzard headquarters, and they had this secret meeting. Everyone was calling it the Illuminati meeting. Nobody knew what it was about, because they couldn't talk about it. And everyone's like, what's happening? And like these people would say like, guys, this is going to be great. We can't tell you what it is till Friday, but this shit's going to be great. And it ended up being a lot of things. First of all, two new heroes, Medivh, which is just fucking nuts. Like, this guy's going to be ridiculous.
Wait. Stronger than
Tracer?
What's that guy's name? Who's the guy, the fire-based guy?
Kael'thas.
Yeah,
Kael'thas goes in and out of the meta. Right now he's real hot, no pun intended.
Way to go, Bobby.
But Medivh is a support character that can, when he mounts up, he's invincible and he can fly anywhere. He can't do any damage. He can just fly over to the enemy base. So he has huge vision. He can cast portals so him and his team can transport anywhere.
He better be dog shit in combat.
Well, he has one thing that can do damage other than his auto attack.
Okay.
If it hits, the cooldown resets after 2 seconds. If it doesn't hit, 8 seconds. So he doesn't do much damage, but his other ability, like, he makes someone invincible
ultimate
for 1.5 seconds.
And this like ultimate support.
Like full blown support, but he can't heal. He can reduce damage.
Mobility.
He's a very, and Dustin Browder, the guy who, I don't know his exact title, but he's the guy when it comes to heroes. He's said, like, we want to keep shaking things up. We want to keep doing things that are just totally different and off the wall and not like any of these other MOBAs. We don't want any hero that we release to be like the other ones. So, and this
hats
definitely
off to him too. They've kept that.
As they release Stitches, which is a clone.
Is that two-headed giant still a thing? Like people
call him? Yeah, Cho'Gall.
He's not in the meta right now. He's not very good, but yeah, he's still there. The other hero they're moving, it's funny because people pick up on this so much quicker than I do. Like, they drop hints and I have no fucking clue. Like, the next one is going to be Chromie. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah, the dragon.
Yeah, she's a dragon that disguises herself as a gnome in World of Warcraft.
I think it's a he. Chromie's a he.
I thought it was a girl. Well, I don't know. It's a dragon.
I know it's so bad, guys. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I know. And I peed twice this last pee break.
It's all that beer.
Yeah.
All right, so I didn't even explain what the new ranking system was. Let me tell you what that is. Basically, they're copying all the other MOBAs League of Legends. I think Dota does this. They have a, what is it, diamond?
So it's master. Bronze, silver,
yeah.
Gold.
Yeah, bronze to
whatever. There's a ranking system.
Yeah, bronze to grandmaster. And then each one, there's like bronze 5, bronze 4, yep. 3, 2, 1. As opposed to what they've done originally, which was just having rankings 1 through 50. And there's a lot of people, especially high-ranked people, have always argued that rank 1 could mean a lot of things.
Yeah,
there's
for sure.
Very big skill differences between rank 1 players. So,
are they also playing League of Legends?
Bobby, can you explain that? I don't know what you mean. Rank 1. Why would they? Because they're brand new?
No, rank 1's the best.
Oh,
rank
okay.
It's the worst.
Okay, and why could there be a bigger variance between that rank 1 and Diamond Gold?
Because if you were grandmaster, that means you're in the top 200 or 500. I'm not sure how they're doing it. Like you are on the top of the leaderboards.
Okay.
If you are the next one down, I think is master. That's like I'm not sure how many, but that's like a percentage of it. And then in master, you have master 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Splits up 1 through 50. Only splits it up 50 ways. This one literally splits it up 200 different ways because there's like 5 different things, and within each 5, or more than 5, but within each of them,
there's more categories to fit into.
Exactly.
So
you're a gold 2.
More likely to be with somebody of your skill level.
Exactly. Or at okay. least they know exactly where you fit. Okay. Are they doing the same thing as League of Legends where you have to earn the next level up? You don't just, if you earn enough points to get the next level, you don't go up in League of Legends. I forget what it's called, but basically once you hit the top of the rank, mm-hmm. then you have these, I think it's a best of 3. And if you win 2 out of the 3 matches, then you can get promoted up. But if
I don't think they're doing it like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You just, you play a bunch of games and then you rank yourself up or you rank down, and they're going to loosen up the MMR restrictions to allow people. Cause there's always a big debate, especially on Reddit, about Heroes of the Storm, about if MMR hell exists. MMR hell is this term that people have come up with. MMR being your matchmaking ratio. I think
that's every ranking system ever.
Like, the equivalent of ELO.
ELO.
ELO is.
It's hard to get. Basically, what hell, the way I understand it is, it's hard to climb out of a certain area because all the people you're playing with are subpar mm-hmm. about skill. So if you're playing with 4 shitty players, how do you shine as with 4 shitty mm-hmm. players?
You basically constantly. Have to carry the 4.
You have to carry the 4.
You have to be so good that you carry the 4 to get up.
But you're
to the
also
next
playing
level.
Against bad players too. But that's been the argument, you know, is this a real thing or isn't it? You know, our old buddy David Is Winning had this with his original account. He made a new account and just was able to rank up a lot quicker.
Oh, like you as well with your Gargamel account.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, like same thing with that. But I don't have that's based off of HOTS logs, and you can't really compare that website to your actual MMR. So I don't know exactly where that stands.
Oh, you can't see your MMR?
No, only Blizzard knows that. HOTS logs will give you an idea, and you can tell by some things in a game. If you go into a Hero League game, whoever has the highest MMR gets to choose the band, so that'll give you an idea. But I know for a fact, like when I play on my Smurf account, I'm playing people who are not as good. When I play on my main account, even though my MMR on HOTS logs is lower on my main account, I am playing much better people.
Maybe a number of games is taken into
that
account.
Factors into it.
See, yeah. I really like how League of Legends does it. It makes it completely transparent. You know exactly how many points you have in the current tier you're at and how many points you need to get. And then after every match, it tells you what was your RP plus, not RP, what was your ELO plus or minus?
Well, Heroes will do this too. They won't tell you your MMR, but they have it's like an XP bar. It's like a circular thing that kind of goes up and down, and it shows you how close you are getting to leveling up.
Yeah.
And if you hover over it, it will tell you.
Like, and right a level now, up would up your MMR?
Well, yeah, your MMR, all that is that gives you a number, and it says, okay, this guy is at this number. Let's try to get him with other players who are also close to that number. Like, that's all it's used for. It's used for matchmaking.
And let me try to bring this all home for why we're talking about this and why this is all basically boils down to competition and trying to make competition fair.
As fair as possible, yeah.
Which throughout history is one of the hardest things to do. I mean, how many rules does football have, Chad? And they're constantly fucking,
yeah.
Right? So it's always going to be in flux. But it really sucks when you lose, and you can 100% say that this is because it's a game flaw and not my flaw. But generally, I feel like a lot of people just bitch when they lose.
It's true, but I feel like a lot of MOBAs, there's no accurate thing until you get to 50 or 60 games, even more a lot of times. So when somebody's in Challenger or Master in League of Legends, they've played literally thousands of matches. And it's got a pretty good idea of your skill level. After
you can't get to Masters without...
No, you got to play a ton.
Mm.
I think, I don't know how League of Legends works exactly, but I think it basically starts you at the bottom. You don't just play 50 matches and then you're in your Masters or whatever.
All
you
got to say,
work for it.
Whoever the best is, just copy them. I know Blizzard probably has their pride or whatever about like...
Well, that's basically what Bobby's saying is they tried a new system and people complain so much. Mm-hmm. Now they're basically copying the other.
Well, StarCraft 2 has the same bronze to grandmaster.
Well, yeah, exactly. Didn't League of Legends basically copy StarCraft 2 and now it's coming full circle? Probably. Yeah.
So I don't know why they did this in the first place, but Blizzard just put so much work into Heroes of the Storm, which is one of the reasons why I like it so much. It's like they're constantly working on it. They're responding to feedback and they're always adjusting things and adding more stuff in. And like, it just keeps getting better and better.
Dude, flying people in for a meeting really shows that, you know, it's, they really care about it, you know,
for sure.
That goes above and beyond. EverQuest did that with my friend. My guild leader got flown in to San Diego at the time for EverQuest. That was a big thing. He came back. He's like, well, we talked about some stuff. I was like, dude, tell us what happened. He's like, I really can't. You know, it's really cool, man. Really cool when they do that.
My question, I guess, with Heroes of the Storm is there really room for three MOBAs?
Well, these MOBAs are so different.
They are.
I think there is.
But I think the MOBA player is playing one of those three. You're not playing League of Legends or Dota 2 because you are playing Heroes of the Storm.
You can't fit all that much shit in your head.
And then Smite on top of that.
And Smite on top of that, which is its own thing. But
yeah, well, there's a lot of people who play one and then they recreationally play another.
Yeah.
Like a lot of competitive players do that. They compete in Heroes of the Storm, but they will play Smite just casually. And yeah, a lot of people are just going to choose one, but I don't think that's specific to MOBAs. There are a lot of games that you have to fully invest in.
Yeah, you talk about first-person shooters, and obviously for PCs, we're talking about Counter-Strike Go, but, you know, Call of Duty Black, Black Ops 3 is around.
As long as the MOBAs are different enough from each other, then I think, there's plenty of room for all of them.
But the downside is all of these games require a very large player base to be good. And, you know.
Yeah, but what's a very large player base? There's enough people in the world for them to all get their required amount.
But it does go back to what Emilio was saying as about how they will overtake traditional sports. And the thing is with traditional sports, there's four major sports. And that's what, really three in our culture. There's three major sports. And those are kind of the constants. The thing with video games is, as soon as somebody hits something that's popular, like a Dota, suddenly there's a Dota 2, a League of Legends.
You've brought this up a lot, dude, but I have to say, League's been around forever.
Yeah, it has, but neither of you two have any interest. I'm the only one talking about League.
Fucking dog shit. Anyway, how long has it been around? Does anybody know? Seven years?
Yeah, something like that. Probably.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, 5 years maybe?
No, I'm going to go with seven.
Let's find out.
Like MMOs. MOBAs are about tapped out at this point. If you get a new one that comes up, it's probably not going to survive unless it's got a really big company.
What's
2009 is what I'm looking at.
Seven years.
Yeah. It's called basic math, Chad.
Well, look October of 2009. Anyways, what was that? There's a new MOBA, a newer MOBA. What was the one?
Paragon.
Which one?
Paragon.
No.
That's what I was going to say.
It's like sponsoring Twitch players. So that's why I have been thinking about it recently. It's the one that had the mechs. It was a top-down one with the mechs.
I forget the name.
Yeah. That's trying to like break into it, but you're right. Like, we've hit a saturation point.
Listen, what happened to
Supernova.
MMOs?
That's it, Supernova.
Where everybody was going to go into MMOs. It's like... After a while hit it big, everybody made a MOBA or an MMO, and they're just not going to fly.
Yeah.
Because you need thousands and thousands of players.
And you need them consistently. And it failed. And think of how many MOBAs have failed. We've had that comic book one.
I would say at least 10.
Yeah. Don Gate failed. I don't think Paragon's going to be around for very long.
Yeah. Here's the thing. They have a term called barriers to entry, right? Have you guys heard of this term?
I use it all the time, yeah.
Okay. The thing with MOBAs and MMOs is their barriers to entry is so high because not only do you have to get a MOBA or an MMO player to switch to your game, you've got to get him past all the things that he's already learned in his previous game. I've already invested 60 hours into this game. I'm going to start all over on your game. So not only do you have to like have something that's original, but you have to have it so original that it's going to be more interesting than all the hours that you've invested in the previous game.
So it's not like other games where you're just going, let me see if I can hold this guy's attention. I need to hold this guy's attention and
do it so well
that he's going to forget everything he knows.
Exactly. Like if you're playing a game that has a 15-hour window or gameplay, you play those 15 hours and then you look for the next 15 hours. Yeah. Like a Dark Souls, you could do a copy of Dark Souls and you could tell all the people, hey, you guys have already finished Dark Souls, here's a new version that's similar to Dark Souls. You can't do that with MOBAs or MMOs because that guy never gets to the end of that game. So he's going to just continue to want to play the game that he's been investing so much time and effort into. You know what I mean?
That makes sense, Bobby.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. I think if anyone can do it, Blizzard can, though. They're the only people that can pull in the customers that they are.
And has the resources, too. Yeah.
And Blizzard also says, you're missing this demographic right here, so we're going to pull this demographic in right here.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I got a feeling Overwatch is really going to cut into the HOTS community, though, once that game comes out.
No, for sure. And the Counter-Strike.
How about the gaming community? It's going to be a vortex of fun.
Yeah. So I got a little tangent on Overwatch, if we got a second.
Sure.
I got a guy at work, Kevin, my old roommate.
Yeah.
And he loves Hearthstone, used to be a big WoW player. And so I'm like asking him, are you playing the open beta for Overwatch? He's like, man, that game sucks. I don't want to play that game. I'm like, dude, remember this conversation right now, Kevin, because you will literally be changing your mind very soon once you hear all the hype and then you go in there and you start playing and you see how fun it is. Within the week, so this was all last week.
So this is before he played it.
This was like Monday or Tuesday. He said, I have no interest. This game looks stupid. I have no interest in playing this game. By Friday, he's like hitting me up like, when do you want to play this game? Yeah. You know, it's like, this game is going to take over people's
lives. It might be the most fun you can have in front of a keyboard.
It's funny how people will always, a lot of times if something gets talked about so much, people will automatically kind of avoid it or not like
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And that's what I think kind of Kevin was doing is like, it's so in right now and so big in the Twitch community and everything like that.
Yeah,
like
they just feel like it's pushed on them too much. And that goes with anything even other than games. I explain this to people all the time. If you discover something yourself naturally, then you're way more inclined to like it than if everyone around you is constantly.
You're a hipster.
On. Yeah.
We've been full on this hype train with Overwatch,
just
by the
beginning.
Way. Like
pretty much,
but
God, just watch their. Even if you don't like, if you just like stories, watch their CG.
I haven't seen those yet.
Those trailers, fuck, dude. They're Pixar, almost Pixar level quality cinematics. Really good.
I need to watch those.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little news. We talked about Battlefield 1, and we hinted at the new GTX 1080 that's coming out.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
talk about game changer. I know Bobby.
This is what Bobby scoffs.
Welcome to the hype train.
So if this is your first podcast, a little info for you. Emilio will mention game changer at least once an episode, maybe more than once, because he is full on hype train on everything that ever existed. Bobby is like the opposite. If he's the guy that's telling the hype train to just slow down and stop.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm working the brakes on the hype train.
Yeah, exactly. So
look at her. And if you're interested in the hype train, we have brand new hype train t-shirts coming out this month. But anyway, so often, and I was talking to Chad about this, every once in a while, because I follow Popular Mechanics and I follow like Popular Science and all that stuff. And
you're a futurist.
You love, futurist. I'm a futurist. Anything coming down the pipe. So I read about all these things. I'm like, oh, game changer, game changer, game changer. And it never changes the game because you never can buy it off the shelf. And so I, one of those things was this FinFET technology. The way I understand it is you're getting more efficiency out of every chip, every transistor, because they're changing the levels that are on the chips. But whatever, I don't really understand it. But I read this whole thing and I was like, oh, this is another game changer. Hey, but you know, you're getting to the point where like you never, if you, unless you can buy it at Walmart, like Bobby said, then it doesn't really matter because who cares? It's just an article, right? What's amazing about this FinFET thing was that from the time that I read the article, maybe 2 months ago, the chips are going to be available for sale at the end of this month, the 27th. NVIDIA already put them onto new things. And this is why I'm saying it's a game changer more than anything else, is because the affordability. Because it's cutting edge doesn't mean that it's going to be so crazy expensive. Literally the best card on the market in the world is going to be $599. Its little brother is going to be $370.
And how much better are these?
You're getting twice as much computing power when in VR, they said.
Okay.
But
in asterisk in VR. In, yeah. Well, all right. First of all, there are no benchmarks on this. I've looked all over the internet to see if I could find any like legitimate benchmarks. So all we know at this point is basically what the marketing department is telling us. These are going to be big, but I mean, this is when we made the jump from what, like Fermi to Maxwell. I mean, that was a big jump as well, probably equally as significant here. I mean, this happens every 2, maybe 3 years. So I don't think it's like a huge jump, but
why do you got to depress me like that?
I'm not trying to be depressing. I'm just, you know, trying
this
to
is a gigantic jump, dude. It, from what people are saying.
Why are you trying to get up like a turtle? I'm a little,
I got
to
pee again.
What? No, no, stop.
I'm having trouble.
Stay right there.
I can't concentrate if all I'm thinking about is my bladder.
We're going to finish this episode
I'm shaking over here.
Jesus Christ.
But anyway, roughly, okay, let's say it's 1.5.
How much better it is?
Yes. And then 3 times the efficiency, that it's using that much less juice, but half the price, guys. This is half the price of a Titan.
Okay. Fair enough. And Emil's waddling out of here with his full bladder. This is, how many peas is this? This is pea number 4, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the third break. I'm switching back to whiskey.
Seriously? What the fuck happened here?
So we had to cut there because I had to pee again. We were supposed to do 2 podcasts in a row today because of the BioShock thing. So I was like, I'm going to be smart. I'm just going to stick to beer so I don't get sloppy. The downside of that is I have to pee every beer I have is one interaction with the toilet. So
it boggles my mind.
I don't understand how you can just sit there calmly.
No, what it
beers.
What it is I've had years to develop my beer bladder.
Yeah.
And you haven't started drinking beer till you were 31, right?
34.
30, yeah. Which is in itself inexplicable.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you've only had to work on your beer bladder for a couple of years now. So I'll cut you a little bit of slack, but this is honestly ridiculous.
I know, this is tough. I completely apologize.
All right.
But so Chad, so you're maybe, where are you on this?
On the new 1070, 1080?
Yeah, dude. Best card on the market, $599, has never happened ever.
Why aren't
they
making...
They've always been $1,000.
Why aren't they making a super powerful one for $1,000?
There are the Founders Edition of each one of these cards for $100 more.
What constitutes a Founders Edition?
I want to say that it's maybe the TI version.
They didn't know it won't be a TI version. According to this article that I looked at, gamersnexus.net, they're saying the Founders Edition is the reference model. So that's just the stock card. Now, when you...
Wait, what?
The Founders Edition is just a fancy word they came up for the reference card.
Why is it more expensive?
I don't know. Mm. So these are probably going to be about that price when they come out. But you got to take into consideration when companies like Asus or EVGA get these, they're going to do their own cooling and... whatnot to them and clock them at certain speeds, and they're going to sell them for different prices. So they'll be around this price, which is a really good price. AMD is going to be having their Polaris cards coming out, which are going to be around $300, I think. They're going to perform around a 980 or a 390X. So they're going to hit that sweet spot that most people are looking to spend on a graphics card, $200 to $300. Probably a really good value at that. But yeah, if you want the flagship card, then NVIDIA is usually the way to go. Now, compared to a 980 Ti that I have, I don't know how much of an upgrade this is going to be yet. So I may stick it out until a Ti version comes out.
They said this is running at the same of two 980s on Sly.
Yeah, two 980s, not a 980 Ti though.
Right. Okay.
And
true.
Like a lot of the things that they've advertised is like VR. And like, again, this is all just marketing speculation at this point. I mean, just because they got the card to do something in a certain environment doesn't mean that when you get it home, it's going to give you that exact performance. So until like PC Perspective or some hardware outlet gets a hold of one of these and actually gives me some concrete details, then like I'm going to hold my praise, but it will definitely be a step up.
An optimist is somebody that sees the glass half full. That's me. A pessimist is somebody that sees the glass half empty. That's Bobby.
I'm not saying the glass is half empty here. I'm just saying it's not quite as full as you think it is.
And a Sierra Mist is a glass filled with fake 7-Up.
Okay, I think everyone on Twitter already knew that.
God damn it. You already read that one?
Well, you retweeted it.
Okay, this went off on a tangent. But I guess the question is, I have a 970. Do we think that it's worth upgrading to these new these new ones and then selling the 970? Because you can still probably sell the 970, mm-hmm. for $100 or something?
Not
like
after
that?
These came out, because the game have been changed, son. Okay. Don't you understand?
It is better
Hype train,
to sell.
Choo-choo.
It's better to sell your card before it gets too old, and you can still get some value out of it. I think I could get $450 for my 980 Ti at this point, but I don't think that's really going to justify getting a 1080 yet, because there's really nothing that I can't run at the resolution that I'm using.
That's true. Everything is ultra right now.
Unless you start playing VR. Which
like these are specifically VR cards, right?
So the technology that are on this NVIDIA that makes it better for VR isn't just the processing power. There's something in there that... Okay,
the magic. It's the magic.
The magic that they put in there, the little gnomes did, is that... Usually when you do VR, you have to process two. It's almost like running two screens.
Yeah.
So you have to put it up there twice. Something in these cards make it so they only have to display one. Even though you experience full VR, they're only showing one display. I don't know how it's magic. Yeah. Magic.
Okay.
So anyway.
Once Bobby gets a grasp on it, we're going to have a Bobby Gets Hard segment. And he'll break this all down, but that'll probably be in a couple
weeks.
And
I'll be riding the hype train on shit that I don't own.
Like the fucking dude in...
Hey, some people are really enjoying this new chipset.
Is it?
No, I'm saying like next week.
I don't think they will.
I'm really surprised there are no benchmarks yet. I know NVIDIA had a website where there was just a countdown and some really vague stuff about like, you know, get ready or whatever. And everyone was wondering what that was about, and then it ended up being this. So I don't know. I'm waiting for two things. Number one, benchmarks. Number two, a TI version from EVGA.
Okay, let's say those two things come out by next week. We're probably not going to happen. But when will you say I am genuinely excited about it? When those two things happen and they're good numbers?
I mean, I'm excited about it right now. I mean, this is definitely good.
This is
news.
Excited, Bobby?
That's Bobby excited.
Yeah.
He's almost pissing himself. That's how excited he is.
I literally almost pissed myself.
I know. There's a lot of peeing going on in this whole podcast.
Yeah. But, you know, AMD's got some stuff coming up around the corner, too. So, I mean, it's just, it's not that I'm not excited, but I'm just like, this is what I expect. It's like, obviously, as time passes, things are going to get better. And this is just an obvious cycle in that.
You expected a flagship card to be $599.
That's usually what they are. I mean, the Titans go for $1,000, but yes, the Titans are never marketed towards gamers. So, yeah, my card, I got the super-duper, super-clocked SC Plus with the backplate edition for, like, $700. But, yeah, the 980 Ti was around $650, I think. You know, $600, that's like a high-end card that a lot of people will get. They don't usually go further than that. I mean, they have, yes, but usually it is around that range.
But you helped my buddy build a PC, and I don't remember. I don't know what he said that he was going to, but he ended up with two Titans, right? He's running Pete. Remember you helped him?
Did he go with two Titans?
I believe
it was. This is before the Titans came out, or at least the newer Titans.
Whatever. I'm saying there's people that are out there, and then once they ask what's the best shit out there, it's going to be, I don't know.
Yeah, but there's always, you got to understand, like with computers, there's always that you can spend a whole lot of money and get a whole lot of performance, or you can spend a shitload of money and get a whole lot of performance plus a little bit more, a little bit more.
Yeah. You're paying like, so much more for that cutting
edge.
There's
like an asymptote or something, you know, like there's a curve good word. To it.
I like that.
Yeah. But, you know, the $300 range is where a lot of people buy their cards. And then you have the higher end ones, which are in that $600-$700 range, which a lot of people, and then you have your thin margin that will spend $1,000. But
well,
I was already looking at this 970, like 379 looks pretty good.
What do you reckon? You're rocking the 970 right now, aren't you?
Yeah, we have the same card, I think.
Yeah, we both have 970. He's got the 980 EVGA. Ti.
Shout out to Jacob.
Yeah. And so are you thinking about upgrading here with this new one?
But just like Bobby said, I'm running everything fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But, you know, it's like, it depends on, like, what you want out of your system. Because for me, I will spend the extra money to get a faster card and then sell my old card before it drops even more in value. But, you know, not everyone's going to do that.
If this is what it says it is, I feel like all old cards' values are going to plummet. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. The point of the thing is we don't know right now. We need to give it a couple of weeks.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Doom was running this, or whoever. Bethesda ran Doom at 200 FPS on 1080 Ultra, whatever that is, because that's the most their projector would do at the time. So I don't – to really get some good numbers would have been to put this on 4K and see what it does. But as far as running it at the best of what most people have – 200 frames per second, I've never even heard of.
Bobby, when do you think the 4K is going to be the standard? Because right now, 1080p or 1920...
This is probably...
Is the standard right now. When are we going up to the next level, Bobby? Give us a breakdown.
As a cheerleader on the sidelines, I would say this is the introduction to everybody running 4K.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, when the cards can start supporting it more. But the thing that people don't realize about 4K is not a lot of stuff supports it. I mean, for the longest time... Chrome didn't look right in a 4K resolution.
Yeah.
You had to up the scaling on your font in Windows for it to look correctly. And in 4K on a 30-inch, I mean, that shit is really tiny. Like, if you have a 30-inch monitor that's 4K, we're talking, like tiny, tiny print, you know? Like, 4K is great if you have a giant screen, but not everyone has, like, a big-ass screen in front of their face.
But wouldn't you guys both say that the VR is contributing to this...
push of technology
because you need to do 1920 by 1080
per eye in
VR. Now you're talking about basically you need a 4K to be able to do that at resolution.
There's definitely a more of a demand for it right now, especially with 4K too, because there's not a lot of cards that you can just plug in and run something like GTA 5 full settings on 4K. And you know, it's been a while since I think that's existed, you know, like back in the Crysis days where we had something that just could not be run with the technology that we
had.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, these games that are coming out, and it's...
Let's 4K is a new standard.
Well, let's be honest.
Not the new standard, the new strive point, I guess.
We are constrained by the console generation that we're in right now, you know? They're not going to be pumping out 4K ones. Xbox or PlayStation 4, 3 or whatever. What are we at? PlayStation 3?
4.
4. Neither of them are supporting 4K right now. So nobody has this huge urgency to pump out 4K support.
I really don't. I feel like 1080p is not going away. I feel like the large portion of people don't know the difference. They don't even know what resolution is.
Oh my God.
They're perfectly happy with 1080p.
So we had a viewing party for Game of Thrones, you know, the premiere.
Okay.
So I went to these friends' house. They have like full like whatever AT&T like UVerse or whatever.
Okay.
They intentionally pick the standard viewing because they don't like the look of high def. I almost walked out of the fucking party.
Yeah.
I was holy shit.
Who are they? Because I'm no longer friends with them.
Yeah, I know. I won't tell you because they're kind of nice people, but yeah. Jesus Christ.
Standard def?
Standard def. You know, black in standard def doesn't look black. it's like squares of gray and black.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so bad.
Yeah. Bobby would have walked out.
Yeah. No, I can't do that. It's so funny because you can tell how old a person is by their tolerance level for that.
Yeah.
I had to redo a video at work, and this guy did not want to do this video. Like, he did not want to do it. This video is from like 2007. He's like, it's great. I like it the way it is. And like, I was like, my boss told me, you have to redo this. I'm telling you, I'm ordering you guys to redo this video. So we ended up redoing it. And like everyone else that watches it, we're like, holy shit, dude, when was it? Like, the audio sounds like super bad. And like, the video is just terrible. But like, old people, they have no idea, man. They have no idea.
These are younger people than me and Sam. And they just don't, I see what they're saying, because sometimes when you're watching high def TV, it doesn't look real. It looks fake. Mm-hmm. It's
a soap opera effect.
Yeah, the soap opera effect. Exactly. And I guess that's what they were complaining about, but fuck, they can go fuck themselves.
Seriously. All right, what else we got going on?
All right, Windows 10 is ending July 9th. It finally, they said a year, and it's been a year. Shit.
Yeah, so if you're still holding out on that, whatever, Windows XP or X, what is the other one? What was the really good one? The X...
7.
Windows XP?
XP, yeah. So if you're still holding on to XP or Windows 7 or Windows 8 or whatever, and you're just like, I just don't know if I... Because I talk to you guys every once in a while, you old crotchety people. It's time to upgrade. It's literally the best operating system I've ever used.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Windows 10, too. This is the last... Microsoft says this is the last operating system they're going to release. They're going to take the Apple route now, and they're going to have Windows 10, Windows 10.1, Windows 10.2. And basically, they're just going to build upon this operating system, but they aren't coming out with new versions like they have in the past. So it's your last chance to get this for free.
Do it, please. It's amazing.
Bobby, help me out, though. So I had to close down a program by going to the task manager recently. Okay. And I went into the task manager, and there is so much fucking bullshit that is running in the background on Windows 10. They had the movies. They had the Windows movies, whatever application running in the background, which I've never in my entire life booted up and have no interest in booting up. Like, how do you
change your startup settings?
I know, but is there a way to make, if as a PC gamer, I want my system running as lean as possible so I can put as much performance into the game. Is there a way to like make sure my PC is running as lean as possible on Windows 10? Because
your boot settings, right? Just
yeah. If you go to start run MS config, you can even use a program that was mentioned in our forums called C Cleaner, which I've used in the past, and that is a little easier of a way to edit what starts up when your computer starts up and what programs run in the background.
So C Cleaner is the way to go.
Yeah, C Cleaner is the easiest way to do
it. Or you could just do it yourself, MS config.
Yeah, MS config. Or you go to services.msc and you can change like which ones you want to start up, and that has like the full detailed list. That's all those background programs.
Bobby, help me out. I want you to do a video, put it up on our YouTube channel.
It's a video.
Like, I need to know.
He knows you in real life, but he needs you in video format.
No,
well,
because
the thing about it is these things change a lot. A lot of the programs that you should disable, they change per operating system and they change as time passes.
Well, I'm saying is there's a ton of us playing on Windows 10 that want to play a PC rig that doesn't have all this bullshit on the background that's hindering my computer. And
you know what's funny is like I used to maybe 8 years ago, 2008-ish, like, yeah, that would have been a concern for me. Like, I want to free up as much of my hardware as I can. But the best advice I give to people who have this problem now, buy more memory, get better hardware. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Really? Like,
how much memory do you have? 8 gigs?
16, I think.
16? Yeah, dude, you're fine. Yeah.
Really? It doesn't matter that fucking Windows movie player is playing in the background?
You don't
or whatever.
Really need that running in the background, but you can look in Task Manager and see exactly how much memory and how much CPU time it's using, and it's usually pretty negligible. And I think we're past the day and age where you need to worry so much about that stuff, unless it's something that's actually causing a problem.
Well, here's the other thing that people I commonly hear as a complaint about Windows 10. Is I hear people say it's a system hog compared to Windows 8 or whatever, Windows 7. Like, people say, I don't want to go to Windows 10 because I hear it takes up a lot more of your computing power than...
Well, that's any new operating system.
Well, that's what I mean. So, like, what I'm hoping is that we can get to the point where we can... Do you literally have to pee again? No, I want you to go into the mic and tell everybody that you're a bad person, that you have to pee every 15 seconds like a 6-year-old girl. Wow.
No more beer again ever.
Yeah, he's literally banned from beer. He needs a catheter. Let's put a catheter on him next week. And he can just pee to his heart's content.
Cool. So Radeon is coming out with their new affordable SSDs. And these prices looked really low to me. Bobby, maybe you can shine some light on this. But these seem like really, really good prices. But I don't know if you can find maybe a better price. Because you seem to know the stock market on gaming. But anyway, what they're proposing are, I believe it's 128 gigs for $41. 280 for $80 and 480 gigs for $137. The only reason I bring this up because this is the biggest upgrade you can do with your PC right now for under $100 or around to $100. So how are these prices comparing, and was it worth it even bringing it up? The R3 series is what they call it.
The Radeon R3 SSDs. Yeah. These are really good prices. These aren't like holy shit unbelievable prices, but these are like probably the best you're going to find. The same hard drive that Chad and I have, I got a, what did we get?
I have the 500 Samsung 500 mm-hmm. gig.
Yeah, a 512 gig. I think you bought yours for 170, 160.
Yeah.
I bought mine on sale. Like I found a really good sale and I couldn't not get it. And I think I got it for about 140, and that's for a 512 gig. And that was the best price I've ever seen on an SSD. So if you can get a 480 for $137, then yeah, absolutely jump on that.
Cool. And how hard is it, Bobby, to use two of these in conjunction as one drive? Is that even possible?
Oh yeah, that's definitely possible. And that depends on your motherboard, if it supports RAID 0, if you have a gaming motherboard, it does.
Okay.
You have to set that up in the BIOS, but it's pretty easy to figure out and to do. The only problem with that is you have two
easy
points
for
of
Bobby
failure.
Or easy for your casual person?
I think you could look up a YouTube video and do it without any hitch, because you set it up in BIOS and then you boot your Windows installation disk and it just sees it as a hard drive. Sometimes you need to install a driver during install, but usually Windows is able to pick up on it right away. But the thing about that is if one of those hard drive goes bad, you lose all your information.
Oof. Oh, because it's shared across the two the two drives.
Yeah. But you do get a pretty significant performance boost from running in RAID 0.
But wait, what do you mean a performance boost? Yes,
because they're
sharing the workload.
Sharing the workload.
Oh.
So you can save, and they're both saving different segments. But that's what he's saying. If you lose one, you lose everything.
But on an SSD, if you're doubling your performance, you're doubling. I mean, to me, it seems instant.
Well, it doesn't scale directly like that. It's not a 200%.
I'm just saying it's already instant.
And what's the RAID that where they're just duplicating the work?
That's RAID 1. That's RAID mirroring 1. Them. And then you have, there's a ton of different kinds of RAIDs, but the other most common one used for storage is the RAID 5, and that one uses Parity, which...
yeah.
Nobody cares about that.
Bobby gets hard.
I don't know how exciting storage is to talk about.
Dude, I'm getting a little aroused.
There's a show called Storage Wars. It's the rage.
I don't think they're talking about hard drives.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so RAID 0 is they share work. RAID 1 is they copy work. Is that the basic thing?
Yep.
There's a RAID 5 where it does other things.
Yeah, and the thing about RAID 1, if you're mirroring them, then you have... You need twice as many hard drives for the space. So two 500 gig hard drives only gives you 500 gigs. If you're using,
but you will not lose your data because if one fails,
if
you
one
have
fails, yeah, that's just for redundancy and for backup. For RAID 0, you have two 500 gig hard drives, you get a full 1,000 gigs, and it works really fast. But if one goes bad, you lose it all, which isn't too bad these days. And if that's what your OS is installed on, it's a headache, but it's not the end of the world. And then if you
especially
do RAID 5,
Windows 10 is free.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be nice if Radeon came out with a, I mean, I'm sure that maybe they will, but a terabyte version of this R3 would be nice.
I'm sure they will.
I would love to have
They do have terabyte SSDs out there. They're becoming a little more common. They used to be ridiculously expensive, but they've gotten a lot better.
It sounds like if you buy two of these 480s and you spend roughly $400, you can and set them to RAID 0, you'll have close to a terabyte, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's not too bad. Under $400 for
280.
A terabyte of SSD sounds pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
That is cool. A deal.
I'm glad I brought this up.
Yeah.
Good looking out, Emilio.
Way to go, Emilio.
All right.
That almost doesn't make up at all for the eight pee breaks.
I ruined this whole episode.
No, what happens is I'm going to cut this so well, people are going to have no idea that you took 18 pee breaks.
Until you
but we keep referencing them, so it's like threaded in the podcast. Exactly. Too deep to
What you don't understand is we are now at 2.5 hours of recording because of your 67 pee breaks.
I don't like myself just as much as you don't like me.
Yeah, you do look disappointed in yourself.
The next episode just on the toilet.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Like I was saying.
A catheter.
A catheter.
Yeah. Not the kind that goes inside.
No,
The kind that goes
You're punished.
Like
you get the one in the pee hole. That it's a pee hole catheter.
Everybody done for the week?
Why? Because you have to pee again?
No. Well, kind of.
Okay.
All right. Speaking for Bob.
Oh, wait. Bring up the fact, one, there's an interview with you and Chi. Right after this.
So thank you for giving us your whole week. This is going to be a 3-hour work week or listening week. She interviewed me and I had a good time and she seemed to have a good time too. So listen for that right after this.
And then we're also doing the BioShock hopefully tomorrow.
So
that should be out also come Tuesday or Wednesday maybe.
Yep.
Possibly. So a lot of stuff from us.
Yep. So for speaking for Bobby's flooded apartment, Chad's late rent collecting, and Emilio's...
Are you doing a Mother's Day version?
Emilio's bladder. Oh, yeah. And for Mother's Day, lactating titties.
Wow.
Welcome to another DL Gaming interview. This is Chi, also known as Smoochie, and I'm here with Ender's Logic, also known as Emilio. Hey, Emilio. This is going to be my introduction into DLGaming.net as the newest member, and I'm really excited to get to know everyone better, starting with Ender's Logic. So explain to me a little bit more about your gamer tag and the story behind it. What is Ender's Logic?
There is not a whole lot of mystery behind it. Ender's Logic, Ender comes from Ender's Game, which is my favorite book of all time. The movie was a little subpar. I had high expectations for the movie and I didn't. But anyway, so I was going by Ender and then I would see Ender on every server that I would play on all the time. And then from EverQuest, I saw this guy who I respected and his name was Logic with a K. And I was like, oh, that's so smart. He changed it. This is before people were switching letters around. Like, this was so long ago. And so I was like, he uses a K instead of a C. That's brilliant. And so I started going by Logic as well on other games. And then I started seeing that around. And I was like, I'll just combine the two. And no way will anybody ever take that. So, and sure enough, any game I ever play, it's always available. And so it's a little long. But it works out, and it's always there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and anytime anybody's looking for me, I wonder if Emilio plays this game. You just search for Ender's Logic, and chances are I had an account, and it's since been vacated or something like that. But yeah, there's never been another one, I don't think.
So you are the unique Ender's Logic. If anyone needed to Google you, that's only you. You don't have to compete with anyone else. That's awesome.
Yep.
So, no, that makes a lot of sense. Big props to Ender's Game. That's one of my favorite reads of all time, too. Mm-hmm. And so beyond the name, describe your history with video games. How did you start out as a gamer and get to where you are now?
Early on in my life, my dad was like this Mexican cowboy type dude, and he wanted to get me into that so bad. Like, he bought me two horses. He bought me
Horses.
Yeah, real horses. He bought me like a charro outfit. That's a Mexican cowboy. And he was trying to infuse me with all that as much as he could. I never really took to it, but that's all I had until my 10th birthday when I got a Nintendo, and it changed my life. Like, I don't know for the better at this point, but.
So basically, wow, that's that's great. So you basically, every little girl's dream is to get a pony from her dad, and you got that, and you're like, fuck that, dad, I want a Nintendo.
Yeah. Poor horses. Nobody would ever ride them, take them out. Like, we had to pay a guy to take care of them and ride them and stuff. Like,
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It sounds like we're rich. We weren't rich. Like, I think either my mom was getting a car or I'd get two horses. Like,
oh my gosh.
That's how that worked out.
Yeah. Okay. That's great though. What a great start. So, yeah. Continue on after you got your.
So, I want to say, all right. So then I got into Magic the Gathering, and that's probably the best. Chad and I have talked about this all the time. It's probably the best game ever made. It's just a little too expensive to keep up with the Joneses on that game. Yeah, card game. And so this is how old I am. I wanted a place to play Magic. So I looked in the newspaper and there was a place called A Place to Play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, real original, right? But I was like,
I still think it's very safe. I mean, I wonder if newspaper ads were any better than Craigslist ads nowadays.
That's pretty much what it is, yeah. So I showed up there and they had like, it was probably like 70% card games and like tabletop games like Warhammer and stuff. Mm-hmm. And probably like 10% food and 20% like four computers running Ultima Online.
Wow.
And then I played there for years, probably 1 or 2 years, and made a lot of friends. And I don't look like any of these people. Like, these are all like fat bearded white guys. And this like Mexican dude with slick back hair that drove a rice rocket, like would come in and just like play with them. I was nerd to the core though, you know?
Yeah.
And so, so slowly over those years started. Ultima, like I took one look at Ultima, I was like, that's dog shit. I'm not gonna play it. I didn't even understand, you know. I was like, at this time, what was it? Super Nintendo, maybe PlayStation. I don't know. I'm really bad. If I talk about anything in the past, it's pretty much I'm guessing. This is pretty much sure what this is how this went, but I don't know. I can't put dates on anything. So anyway, after Ultima Online, EverQuest popped up. EverQuest and Tribes, and people were
great titles.
Yeah. And then it would get bigger and bigger. That little corner became loud. Now it's half of a place to play. It's now all PCs running on the LAN.
So it's one of the, would you say it's one of the very original LAN centers in San Diego?
Yeah, pretty much. No, it wasn't San Diego. This is San Jose.
Oh, San Jose. Oh, yeah. You're from San Jose.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's fun to know. Yeah.
So then I saw Tribes and it just blew my mind. I was like, what do you mean you're playing against other people? Mm-hmm. What is that? Because, you know, when you're playing on PlayStation or whatever, it just blew my mind that it had all these abilities. I was like, you could do whatever you want because you can build your guy however you want. And then EverQuest pretty much ruined my life for the next 3 years.
the MMO addiction, you're recovered MMO addict too. I get it.
Pretty much. I was playing probably 16 hours a day. And then I sold my account for like $2,500.
What finally made you put your hat put your hat down?
Right? I don't know. I think it was just, I don't remember at the time. I think I really wanted eye surgery because I had like Coke bottle glasses at the time.
Oh, and my.
So I sold my account and then I paid for that. And I got the very first LASIK before it was called LASIK. They used to do it with blades. And I got radial keratotomy. And it worked for like 20 years or so.
That's amazing. What a great story.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so something the most I did when I quit my MMO addiction was get out of a really bad relationship. And also maybe a couple $100 to pay for my college school books. And ever since then, I haven't been able to pick up another MMO.
And nothing really draws you in the way that does, right?
Yeah, it's like, you know, did like been there, done that, and you move on with your life. And for you, it's like, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Like, literally.
I woke up the next day, and I cried. I didn't need to reach for my glasses for the first time. I woke up with
20. My goodness.
Yeah.
What a profound story. That's amazing.
Yeah. Games changed my life.
I would love to, if there was a book that existed about MMO addiction and how people basically fell rock bottom and crawled out of it, that story of yours is that would be in that book. That would be a chapter for sure.
I'm like the one Auschwitz guy who got away. Like, that book is filled with terror. Like, so many people.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember, like, the Chinese couple that let their child die because they were... They were playing WoW, I think it was. And that was way back in the... There's way more bad stories than there are good ones.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, let's move on from there. Yeah. So that's a little bit of your history, though. How would you bring... speed us up to where you are now as a gamer?
Obviously, Bobby and I started the podcast because we love PC gaming. And we were talking about it one night, and I was like, wow, we said some real smart shit. Next time we should record it.
Nice.
He's like, all right, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, I was really drunk. And I was like, what are we going to name it? And then we came up with, and this is like a fun fact for the old school listeners, the original name for the podcast was going to be, because I was thinking of like a crazy wild morning show, you know, like, mm-hmm. like, Bob Sack and Low Job, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know why Bobby's name is going to be Level 6, and then I was going to be the Spick. So it was like, welcome back to Level 6 and the Spick. And,
wow.
Yeah, it never caught on.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you changed it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that never stuck.
Yeah. But DL Gaming is like, so it's Digital, which is Bobby, Robert Digital, and then Logic, which is me. So Digital Logic Podcast.
All right. But
yeah. It's not the greatest name. I mean, we almost changed it right before you joined, actually, because we were kind of going. Yeah. And it's just like we're too invested into this game or this name already. But it's growing and everything, all systems go.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually one of the later questions that I had, but I'm going to ask it now for sure. Now, if you had the opportunity to change the name to DL Gaming, what would it be now?
We couldn't even come up with anything. Some of your other original names were the Not So PC PC Gaming Podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
It's pretty good, right? But it was already
I like it because it's punny, not just funny.
Super funny. But what? What sucked was, like, we would go and we would search, and there were so many, right? Even though we're one of two at this point, we're, like, at the top of a very small hill, I like to say. Basically, the only people producing are us and PC Gamer Podcast, which is, like, nice. But anytime you search, it's littered with the corpses of thousands of dead podcasts for PC gaming. Yeah. And we're not saying we're good. We're just the only one still doing it.
Which is great and awesome, and I applaud you guys for that consistency, and that's a big reason why I'm super excited and just really glad and appreciative that we crossed paths, because I honestly can say at this point now, I have almost, you know, taken my Twitch hat off and buried that as a part of my life. You know, I did it for 2 years. I got some good out of it, but you know, I almost didn't want to continue it, but I feel like joining forces with you guys is going to keep that passion alive, and that's super important.
You reinvigorated us as well, because so the sound isn't so great with four people. What can we do? We just got all new equipment. Like, the sound is better than it's ever been. And we're on our way to being able to do YouTube content, stream, and just do the podcast all in one go. So with no more effort, we're hitting three prongs at once. You know, just getting more out there.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I am so glad to be a part of it now. And that's awesome too. So, so with that, I kind of want to pull back into questions about, you as a gamer in general. You know, what does being a gamer mean to you? You know, everyone is a so-called gamer these days. In fact, I think there was a statistic that was put out where all boys, 99% of them have played video games before, so can claim themselves as being a gamer. But what does being a gamer, how would you describe yourself as a gamer, and what does that mean to you in your life?
I hate to do a little like gamer elitism, but there is a difference between me and somebody who plays Clash of Clans at the end, you know, on their lunch break or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
A gamer, to me, is somebody that keeps up with the news, see what's coming out, has an opinion. It's kind of like somebody that's into politics or whatever it is, a sports fan. Are you a sports fan, or you just wear that jersey and you don't know who's on the team? Like, there's definitely a difference of how much somebody is invested in something.
Yeah. So, no, that's really good cross reference. Invested.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. So you basically like eat, sleep, game.
Yeah, and try to make money somewhere in between there.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So I think for me, another fun question to ask, I actually have your Steam profile pulled up here.
Oh, no.
You know, if you're so looking at your Steam profile, what would you say? What would it say about you? What do you think your Steam profile says about you?
It says that I don't put a lot of work into my Steam profile, I would imagine. Bobby's has bells and whistles and like fucking lightning shoots out of it every time you go to his profile. And mine is just like, mine is like, oh, here's some free shit Bobby gave me because he's fucking done. He already wiped his ass.
No. I can put that on my profile. I like it. It's simplistic. Yeah. I have to make a couple comments on it, though. I will point out some things that I noticed about your Steam profile page and what you have to say about it. First and foremost, I have to definitely congratulate you on having the 12-year badge. Mm-hmm. I wear mine very proudly. Mm-hmm. So it says you've been a part of Steam since April 27, 2004. I think Steam came out in 2003, is that correct?
Yeah, it was the only way to get the newest version of Counter-Strike. You had to download this stupid, clunky piece of shit outside the game client.
I remember that day, too.
We were so upset. We were so uh-huh. We couldn't even get it to work. It was dog shit. Like, this Steam thing's never going to work.
Right. It's like I had zero faith in Steam as well. You know, back then, I think we were using, Merc? Or just GameTiger.com to look up players. Xfire,
and yeah, something like that. Generally, though, we were doing it old school. Somebody would join us at the server, and if it worked, we would just give the IP, and then we would type in the IP.
I remember that too. Okay. I definitely remember that too. And my story is kind of the same with us. Downloading Steam. Before Steam existed, my brother and I would share the same PC or whatever the CD key was, and we could play together. But since they launched Steam, I couldn't play with him because you needed a
unique one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I joined. I also have a 12-year badge, so that's when I.
And you're a lot younger than me too. That's impressive.
Yeah, no. So it's because my big brother was playing, and I wanted to play with him. And I was already playing. I started CS 1.5. So it looks like Counter Strike. Both you and I started Steam with Counter Strike.
For sure. That's really. And 1.6 was fucking janky as shit. Like, you would shoot something, and like their lower half would turn to jelly, and they would kind of like slide around. We would call it, I don't know why, but we'd call it the Jamaican slide.
That's
like, oh, it's like, dude, I thought you were gonna die. You did the Jamaican slide, and like, nah, dude, I came back.
Yeah. No, still my favorite version of CS though. CS 1.6. Yeah, like everything was amazing. Like not perfect about it by any means, but definitely amazing experiences. So CS has come a long way. And okay, so that was one thing I noticed. Second thing I noticed is probably your empty background. You actually, of all the easiest things you can do to customize your background, you do not have a customized background. It's just blank.
Really?
Very gray. Yeah, there's no background picture. There's no wallpaper.
I have had that. Like I said, Bobby gives me all his backgrounds that he's already wiped his ass with, so I should put something in there.
You should put some. You should put some. Use toilet paper up for most definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's the first thing that people would notice, outside of your badge there. And then of course I have to, and it says with DL, your favorite group, DL Gaming. That's awesome. Showcasing the podcast, and then also your recent activity. A healthy 27 hours past 2 weeks. That means gaming is a part-time job for you, and that's good. No, that's good. That's what I used to put in.
And that's not counting things that are not on Steam, which is like Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm, which I don't play a whole lot, but yeah, it pops up.
No, that's awesome. So, so that's great. What would you say is your number one most played game on Steam, and how many hours do you have on it? I can that up.
Yeah, that's Team Fortress 2.
Okay.
But it's I don't know what it says there, but it's actually more than what it says, because I was playing that shit way before they started tracking hours. So I think I lost about 400 hours. So you could probably add about 400 to 600 hours to whatever it says there.
Okay, awesome. TF2, that's a great game. Mm-hmm. Did you play that with Bobby or Chad at all?
Yeah, we play from time to time. It works out perfect because I main a heavy and Bobby mains a healer, so that works out. And Chad just dies. He's just
Okay, so maybe this question answers itself, but and underneath my miscellaneous and fun questions, mine was, you're playing a competitive game, and you had to choose one co-op partner. Who would it be?
Yeah, absolutely, Bobby. Not only would it be Bobby, but Bobby would probably, like, carry me through whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chad, all right, that's
Chad
great.
Gets frustrated. Chad gets frustrated. God damn it! I just don't know. Why did I... these power-ups don't last long enough. That's what I'm telling you. The power-ups don't last enough. I was like, dude, the power-ups last just as long for the enemy team. You just don't get it. Okay.
So if this were a grade school playground and all the boys were lined up and you were just picking your team, Chad would be the odd number out where he wouldn't even be able to play on either team just because it wouldn't be an even number. Is that correct?
Chad would take his ball and go home.
I wonder what he's going to say once he hears that part. That was hilarious.
It's like, Chad, we need the ball. No, I'm going home. You guys aren't playing right. You guys are hogging all the power-ups.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. All right, so this is probably, you know, your most asked question. And it's going to be my last general gamer question before we move on to some other questions. But if you could pick your top three favorite games of all time, what are they? And also, on top of that, give me your top three least favorite games that you wish you had never wasted a minute on.
Top game of all time is probably Fallout 3.
Awesome.
And probably Skyrim, which is Fallout 3 with swords.
Right.
And then after that, probably Binding of Isaac.
Oh, okay.
I really enjoy that game. Introduced me to roguelikes. Shitty games. I don't spend enough time with shitty games to remember what they were called.
Okay.
As soon as something... I like things that are inspired. Like, if I see something that's just thrown out there, I need to see new. I need to see passion. If I don't see those things, it's just like, oh, this is clearly a money grab. So right. I was just trying to make money by following a trend or whatever. And I'm going to get it. Actually, I probably already talked about this in this particular episode because I'm going to bring that up this episode. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't even remember some shitty games.
Okay. And how about at least one bad game?
This week I played Neon Chrome.
Yep, I see that here.
So that was like right after playing Deadly Tower of Monsters. Same mechanics, same controls, same pretty much everything. It's just all about the spices. How do you flavor that? Give me some production value. They both had narrators. One swept my heart away. The other one is just like just some robot voice. It's just if you're going to do something, if you're going to take that much time and program all this stuff,
yeah,
just be inspired.
Okay.
Just be inspired. That's what
so I you felt for. So you definitely felt gypped in terms of just the overall, like, I guess, attention and enthusiasm that they put into certain elements of the game.
And it's not like, you know, if I was talking to the developers right now, they would probably be like, dude, we tried our best and we tried to do this and this and this. And I would just point to something that had the same type of budget. And why were they so much better than you were? Maybe because they stayed up on Sunday nights. Maybe because they weren't drinking like I am, but I just enjoy the fruits of the labor. I don't grow the fruit.
That's awesome. All right, so that's great. You answered quite a few general gamer questions. It was really fun digging into your Steam profile too. One thing before I move on completely from your Steam profile, I noticed that in out of the 9 groups that you're in, there's one group that is titled People with Huge Cocks and a Passion for Getting Laid. How did you end up in that group there?
Gee, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Moving on.
And that's too bad that I can't join that group, but I'm happy to be a part of DL Gaming, for sure. I wonder if I could make like the lady counterparts of that group.
I don't even remember joining that. I think I was part of that as soon as I joined Steam somehow, just magically. But anyway, go on.
All right. So so these next set of questions is going to revolve a little bit more around the actual podcast and a lot of things that I'm intrigued to know. First and foremost, you bump into a stranger. How would you describe your passion for DL Gaming and your podcast if they were completely, if they were noob to the gamer world?
I would say that me and my friends get together on Sundays, usually have some drinks and talk about our passion. And that's all we did. That's the very like baseline of what this whole thing is. And that's why it'll never end, because at the end of the day, we're just getting together and talking about stuff that we love. And so like, as long as we keep it that and don't get crazy with like, changing it too much or changing the format like crazy amounts or anything, and just staying true to what we do. Like Chad was bringing up some stuff the other day, and all valid points and stuff, and it was like, well, this person said this, and there was this complaint, and there was that one, and I was like, if we try to please everybody, we'll end up pleasing nobody. All we can possibly do is do what we would enjoy, and that's as far as, so basically we're just doing what we would enjoy. That's why there's all a bunch of dick and fart jokes and stuff, because I'm a 6-year-old at heart. So
No, I think that's great. And you guys, you put it very well in that sense where, you know, you have to enjoy what you're doing to keep on doing it. And it's so great to hear that you guys have been kept that flame alive for so long. And it's not just, and it's nice that you're a group of friends that revolve, have a, you know, shared passion. And it's as simple as that. Yep. You know, three guys, a couple gals and a microphone. So that's cool. Oh, and drinks. And the alcohol.
Yeah.
And drinks. That's awesome. So so that's what it is as its core. But what are your goals with DL Gaming? What are you trying to, what have you achieved and what are you looking to achieve?
Dollar bills, y'all.
Right?
No, not at all.
Monetizing.
basically, if what we're doing pleases enough people and some money starts to come in, I think we would just keep reinvesting into the podcast. It's like we all make a living on our own, so everything we make
is probably just go back in.
Yeah, it can. But I don't think any of us think, you know, you could leave your job for a podcast or mm-hmm. or something like that. Like I said, we just get together and have fun.
Awesome. That's great. So on top of that too, so with this podcasting, especially considering how often you guys have done it, what is the greatest impact podcasting has on your life?
Anytime I read a new review, it's like, it's crazy, man. Like people, if you go to iTunes reviews, it's just, there's magic up there. When I read that stuff, it's just so fucking dope. I love it. Or anytime positive feedback, it's fantastic. I'll get Steam messages from random people that I haven't heard of and stuff like that. It's like, wow. Oh yeah. All those little numbers that we look at that go up every week, like some of those, everyone is a personality, you know, and right. Every one of them can reach out and some of them do. And it's fucking fantastic because again, all we're doing is having some drinks, talking some bullshit.
No, I love that. It's just a network of like-minded individuals and having the excuse of a passion to come together. So that's wonderful to hear. And that's great. So what are you most proud of when it comes to DL Gaming? Like what have you, I mean, basically what it is to you now and, question, what are you most proud of?
Probably making connections that wouldn't have been made otherwise. I've seen friendships grow or actually begin, like everyone, you know, we have our super fans and the only mm-hmm. thing that makes a super fan is somebody that's active in the community, and then mm-hmm. these super fans will start talking to each other because they have a like-minded passion, which is us. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like, okay, we're all getting together because of games, but yeah. then some people are getting together because of DL Gaming, and those people can now have, you know, because they're like-minded, because they like the same kind of humor and the same kind of games or whatever yeah. it is. So it's so crazy. It's kind of like when you have you introduce two people and they become the best friends. You're like, oh shit, I thought that was yeah. gonna work out. You know,
that's so cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, and I've seen that in my Twitch world, most definitely, and that is a great feeling, just the real social aspect behind it, and that is one definite thing to be proud of, just the impact, not just on yourselves, but virtually everybody who gets involved as well, from a listener side, or even for me too. It's like, I'm very grateful, as simply put, finding like-minded individuals, like you guys. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people that are just as good looking as me. Yeah, so we could go out in public together. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding.
It would not have worked out if any one of us was girls.
I'm kidding. All right. So, you know what? That was like the lump sum of my questions with DLGaming.net. Cool. And I'm really excited to basically find out so much more. I felt like I found out a lot about you that I honestly did not know before. And I'm excited to be able to ask even more questions down the road now that I have a better foundation of
when we're on the podcast. When we're on the podcast and you have a question like, oh, this is obviously an inside joke, bring it up, because we have new listeners all the time and they want to know as well. So, you know, yeah, that's one of the best reasons to have you around. It's just like you and our new listeners have are like-minded. So, and so maybe are you ready to sign off? I'll sign this one off.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking for Chi and Sam, who hasn't said a word, but she's made several gestures.
Hi, Sam.
And Emilio.